Focus Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Happy St. Patrick's Day, technically. At least here in Chicago. It's absolutely nuts outside. Here on Michigan Avenue, really everywhere downtown. I honestly don't think I'd be having any fun right now if I was out there.
Why do you say that? You're one of the most fun St. Paddy's Day guys I've ever seen in my life, Adam Hoge.
I like St. Patrick's Day. I like beer.
Do you like green beer? Do you like a dye in your beer? Because I always think that that gives you some form of disease that I don't want.
It seems kind of gross to me.
Mike Jacobson, our producer, by the way, is wearing green. You have green on. I am wearing red. Wasn't aware that it was St. Paddy's Day today. Just I was, but then I forgot. You got a green sock shirt on. Wow.
You're in the wrong month with your red hoodie.
I'm very Christmassy. I'm a holiday cheer guy.
I was thinking St. Valentine's Day, but it is absolutely nuts outside in Chicago. If you're driving around stuck in traffic, as you probably are if you're driving around the city right now, at least downtown, glad you're listening to us on this very nice Saturday in Chicago. And we have plenty to talk about because it's been quite a week for the Chicago Bears and even quite a morning for the Chicago Bears.
Big show, big day, lots to do. 312-981-7200. I am Mark Carmen. You are Adam Hoge. Mike Jacobson is our incredibly good-looking producer who you get to talk to when you call the program. He's got a great voice. It's worth calling the show really just to talk to Jacobson. But yeah, they're Mr. Chicago Bear. Bear. This is exciting. Let's start with the first move of the week, Adam Hoge. And by the way, you should be reading everything that Adam writes about the Bears at WGNradio.com/sports, Adam Hoge's Bear blog. Danny Trevathan, the former sixth-round pick, the former Kentucky Wildcat, the former Bronco, now a Chicago Bear. From my side of the radio here, I see I called it a borderline steal of a signing here with the money that's being thrown around and the fact that Bears needed help at linebacker. What do you think?
I agree. When the money came out, we saw it was about $24 million over 4 years.
That's nothing.
For all the problems the Bears had at inside linebacker last year, I think that's a bargain. And Danny Trevathan led the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos in tackles, which I think matters.
Tackling in football is a stat that I think does resonate with everybody who's ever watched the game of football. Tackling. I understand that, you know, there's got to be big men in front of you that clear the way so you're untouched. But to actually bring someone to the ground, that still does have value even in today's football metrics, right?
I agree. And I think especially here in Chicago the last couple of years, tackling has been a problem. So Danny Trevathan, good speed, little undersized, but he plays a lot like Pernell McPhee does. Relentless. Not afraid to hit somebody. And I think that that is the kind of attitude they're trying to preach right now on defense. And then, I'll let you continue on with the
names. Well, I think that the Trevathan signing is exciting, but then there was that lingering moment. Well, is Shea here? Is he not here? The New York Jets were talking to Shea McClellan, and you know everybody was reminded that, hey, Ryan Pace and Vic Fangio and John Fox, they like Shea McClellan, which I think made most Bears fans nauseous. But then the good root news today, Jarrell Freeman, formerly of your Indianapolis Colts, now a Chicago Bear on a 3-year contract, and I think that that means the end of Shea, does it not?
Well, not necessarily, because you still like to have depth, and I don't think Shea McClellan is the worst backup linebacker you can have.
Solid backup. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, and if there's no market out there for him and you can sign him to a cheap 1-year deal, then I still think there's a small crack in the door for Shea McClellan to remain a Bear. But this is important what you've brought up because we did hear all year long how much Vic Fangio liked Shea McClellan, how much the Bears like Shea McClellan. And if you listen to our podcast, Intentional Grounding, that I do with Adam Johns, Shea is kind of Adam's boy. Adam Johns' boy, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a little bit. And we got into plenty heated, what is that?
There's some real hair going on outside the studio. Sorry that Adam just got distracted, but that was the most amount of hair I've ever seen on an individual. And I think it was a wig, but I'm not really sure. And she's left the building, so I can't ask her.
I just saw it out of the right corner of my eye, and I kind of panicked.
We'll get right back into Shea and Jarrell Freeman and the Bears, but just a public service announcement from the Beat and WGN Radio. If you're not doing anything today and you're a little bit bored, we really appreciate you listening to the show at home, but I would recommend taking out the old transistor radio or perhaps using your phone and going website and just walking around downtown right now because there's a lot of things going on. Continue on, please.
We are in a great spot that people watch right now. No question. Okay, so Shea, we heard a lot of good things, right, about Shea. And Adam Johns and I would have this discussion a lot on our podcast this year about if we are buying into it or not.
Uh-huh.
And I was always like, yeah, but he's still not that good. You know what I mean? And like by the end of the year, I came out pretty strongly in saying that it, at a minimum, the way he finished the year, which was not very good, at a minimum, this guy cannot come into camp as one of your starting linebackers next year. And so what we've seen in the last three or four days, I think is very significant for the Chicago Bears moving forward into next year. They have brought in two different starting linebackers, inside linebackers, and those are going to be your starters, most likely barring injury, Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman.
Trevathan's 26, and Jarrell Freeman, who they signed today, if you don't know much about Jarrell, he's 30 years old, or at least he turns 30 in May, I should say, and he's described as above-average athleticism and cover ability. He doesn't have a reputation for being particularly strong or dominant on contact, but he has been a dependable stat sheet filler. Adam, you can take it from there. What more would you say about Jarrell Freeman?
I think that's a pretty accurate description. I mean, let's be clear. We're not talking about Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs here. Okay. We're not talking about that level of play.
We're looking for functional linebackers.
Yeah. But we're also not talking about Shea McClellan and Christian Jones. It's definitely a step up above that. And so this is an improvement. Jarrell Freeman will likely make some mistakes. There are going to be times where fans are probably a little bit frustrated with him. But I think you'll also see that he is a veteran upgrade at a position of need. The point is you're not going to be rolling out John Timu, Leroy Reynolds, you know, these kind of guys that just kept cycling through at the position last year. By the way, John Timu is going to be back and maybe in the mix and maybe one of the backups.
I enjoyed a Timu.
I know you did.
I was a little into a Timu. But you know what I was? And I also was into seeing Dan Hampton, Hamp, OB, and Kaz. Can't wait for that to come back around, although I do want to enjoy the summer. So never want to race to football like everybody. I enjoy warm weather and everything that goes along with summer in Chicago. But when we do get back to that point in time, not seeing Dan Hampton have a meltdown every Sunday watching Shea McClellan is screaming at the television saying, I can't watch it!
We should call Hamp
I
today.
Can't watch it!
We should call Hamp today. He's probably a very happy man in Hamp land right now.
Well, maybe we can actually give Hamp a call right now, see if he picks up. I wouldn't, if Dan Hampton's a busy guy, I wouldn't bet but we can try. And the other side of it, coming back here, I want to talk about the exciting thing that happened on the offensive side of the football. And there's a lot of quarterbacks moving around in the NFL, man.
A lot of not-so-good quarterbacks.
But what does that mean with the Jaybird, good old Jay Cutler? I'm wondering if it means anything.
I have a nugget on Jay, and also a tiny bit of breaking news. Another signing just coming through right now. We'll tell you about it on the other side of the break.
Very cool. For all the results and reaction Tuesday night, watch primary election coverage with Mark Sapelsa and Micah Materi on WGN TV News at 9 and at 10. Coming right back with the quarterback's moving around. Does that mean anything with Jay and the newest signing, 720 WGN?
I was in the moment then. You know, it's not my place to speak on that. You know, I wasn't there back in the 85 Bears. But, you know, it's just an honor to be mentioned among names like that. You know, a great defense like that. So, you know, I would take, you know, it's not my place to say where we fit. But it's my job to, you know, continue to play great and make my name available up there with those.
Danny Trevathan, not your newest, but one of your newest Chicago Bears. He'll be an inside linebacker. Defense is going to look a little different. Adam Hogue's going to have some new guys to talk to. Jarrell Freeman signed today from the Indianapolis Colts. What's the breaking news, Adam Hogue?
The Bears also re-signed Mitch Unrein.
Yes!
Defensive end and fullback sometimes.
Mitchie Unrein is back with the club?
South.
Mitch Unrein!
Super Bowl. How many people listen to the break that are like, that was the breaking news?
Well, that's the beauty of radio. We can hold you for anything. We'll hold you for a Mitch Unrein. What did Mitch Unrein do? I remember saying his name like once. Mitch Unrein.
He was a solid player.
Was he?
Solid. I'm not saying he was a playmaker. Solid player who has a past with John Fox in Denver. And he's not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. And then they would bring him as a fullback sometimes on offense at the, in the goal line. Remember he had a couple nice blocks for Jeremy Langford?
Who could ever forget that moment in time? I don't know why it's not buried onto my brain like it should be.
It should be.
Mitch Unrein blocking for Jeremy Langford. Who, that was interesting, by the way, this week, too. Matt Forte, of course, going to the New York Jets, which I think he would have liked to have gone to the New England Patriots or the Green Bay Packers, but I think the Jets offered him the most money. Do you see it that way? I mean, he wouldn't have just picked the Jets. Hey,
yeah.
I really want to be a Jet.
Probably, but I'm also, I'm a little, I think the Bears maybe should have coughed up that money for him. I don't know if I want to say that.
Well, they, I mean, but then they're talking about signing C.J. Anderson, which didn't happen, so that was interesting
to
me.
Yeah, okay, like, yeah, that's where I'm getting a little confused. Like,
you want C.J. Anderson, but you didn't want to keep Matt Forte. You want another run. It's like, if you're really making your bet with Jeremy Langford and company, okay, fine, I get it. But now, I mean, C.J. Anderson, he's not exactly, is there a big difference between C.J. Anderson, Matt Forte?
There's a big difference, in my opinion. Matt Forte is a lot better.
Right, that's what I was saying. Yeah. I mean, Forte's a better player.
Yeah.
What's the age difference again? How old is C.J.?
He's 25, so he's 5 years younger. That's the difference.
Well, that's the reason, obviously.
Yeah, but sometimes I think teams get too bogged down on age and not look at an individual case instead of a general rule. But
I'm with
whatever.
You.
The Danny Trevathan Packers stuff. We need to clear that up.
Do we have the audio? Are we ready? Okay, so just to set it up, Danny Trevathan, here you go ahead, set it up.
Well, so he was doing an interview with the NFL Network on the phone in the midst of a ton of other interviews. And they had James Jones in studio, the NFL Network did. And this was the exchange between the NFL Network crew in studio in L.A. and Danny Trevathan on the phone at House Hall.
James Jones, Green Bay Packer.
Hey, we got James Jones here with us, Danny Trevathan. James, give us a sense and talk to Danny about what playing in the NFC North is like.
Danny, what's going on, man? You know, I really didn't want to talk to you right now because I really don't like you for signing with the Chicago Bears. But that's all good. But I do got a question for you.
Okay.
Why not the Packers? Did they come after you?
Nah, they didn't, man. I wish they would have, but, you know, they didn't, man. My guy Randall Cobb is over there, man. But, you know, they didn't, man. So I'm here with Chicago with Fox, baby.
Now you're going to make them pay for it, right?
So if I get them to offer you a little more, will you not sign the contract, or you signed already?
Hey, man, somebody get him off his phone, man.
So there it is. A lot of people immediately jumped on this one because I think it got tweeted out relatively quickly that Danny Trevathan was just on the NFL Network wishing the Packers had signed him.
Yeah, I bet he. I see. I have no problem with it.
Well, it just saying it like that is completely taking it out of context. And first of all, I just happened to be walking by this phone conversation at the same exact moment because we were having a conversation down the hall and he was in this hallway on the phone.
Okay, so this was out at House Hall.
This was at House Hall when he's sitting there on the phone, and I actually heard Danny's side of that. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and I didn't really know what he was answering or even saying, you know, when you only hear one side of it. But as soon as I saw this on Twitter, like a minute later, I was like, oh, okay, so that's what he was saying, and this is going to blow up and be completely taken out of context. And then when you actually hear that, it's James Jones on the other end, a Packer, and he's very comfortable in this moment, saying, oh, yeah, man, I wish they did come after me. You know, come on. Not a big deal.
No, and the reality is, look, Danny Trevathan has no allegiance to the Chicago Bears. He's here because they offered him the most money and that he's comfortable with John Fox and he knows he's going to get an opportunity.
Yeah.
If the Green Bay Packers had offered him probably $500,000 more, which is a ton of money to me, you, and everyone, but not to, you know, not necessarily to an NFL player, but still, if they had offered 500 grand more, he would have gone to Green Bay. Yeah. That would be my guess.
That's how it works. And then you also, coming out of the last break, you heard the comments about the 85 Bears. So Danny Trevathan also said that the the Broncos. I don't know what the exact quote was, but he put the this year's Broncos defense up with the 85 Bears, right? All right. He should. He should. He's on that defense, right? Like, shouldn't, if you're in the, and this was leading up to the Super Bowl, I believe, you should believe that your defense is that good. Again, I don't have any problem with that.
Right, that, and that's fine, too. He can believe that. But here, I will give Danny Trevathan just a minute or 10 seconds worth of public relations coaching. Saying when you sign with the Bears that Green Bay, that you wish they would have come at you. Not the brightest choice. And then when you do come to Chicago and you say that your defense is better than the 85 Bears, I don't think you quite realize how that's going to be.
But he said that before he ever knew he was going to be a Bear.
Okay.
He said that at the Super Bowl.
Okay. That's different. I thought.
No, he didn't say that on Wednesday.
Okay. I thought it came up on Wednesday again. Well, so, but I'm telling you, if Adam Hogan asked him on Wednesday, hey, by the way, was your Broncos defense better than the 85 Bears? What do you think Danny would have said?
Well, he did get asked about those comments.
And?
And he said, look, I was in the moment.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not my place to speak on which is better. So he handled it the right way.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, I like Danny. I watched a bunch of interviews with him, some stuff where he was sitting down with different Denver media people. He seems like an honest, good-willed guy who's putting up numbers. I'm pro Danny Trevathan.
In about 20 minutes, you're going to hear from Danny Trevathan because I sat down with him with Adam Johns for our Intentional Grounding podcast, and we also had a chance to talk to him. So you're going to get to hear the real Danny Trevathan and what we're talking about here.
And we're going to get a little more on Danny from the outside. Darren D. Mac McKee hosts The Drive, which nearly every afternoon show in the country is named that, and it's named that in Denver. The Drive, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, at DMAC 1043. Coming up next, we'll break down Danny from somebody who's watched him for 4 years, and we'll also do a little quarterback talk, because the Broncos, they developed a QB for 4 years, and then he just said, bye-bye, I'm going to go be a Houston Texan because the dollar spoke. And I'm wondering if the Broncos would mind taking Jay Cutler back.
Oh, God.
I'm just kind of wondering. So we got news, and we got D-Mac, and then we got Danny himself with Adam at 350 or so, 720 WGN.
My main objective was to have the best ending of my season, you know, try to make myself more available to other teams and, you know, the Broncos. And, you know, it happened this way, so I don't really know what happened. You know, I let my agent handle that. I was just ready to play football, and so happened Coach Fox was here, had a great relationship. And, you know, it just worked out perfectly for me to be here.
And that's how it goes. Danny Trevathan, one of your newest Chicago Bears. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue at 720 WGN. This is The Beat with you till 7 o'clock. Adam, we didn't talk about Bobby Massey, who's the new right tackle, which means that Kyle Long gets to go back to guard, and it means that Ed Obradovich can stop screaming, "Run back!" So that was a terrible imitation, but that's what it was every week. And I think it was, what do you think about the offensive line shuffle?
I think it's good overall. I think Bobby Massey won't be any better than Kyle Long was last year at right tackle.
He's a very large man,
Bobby Massey. Very large. We interviewed him, too, on a Thursday, and I felt like I was looking up at a giant.
I mean, he looked like a power forward in the NBA.
Way bigger.
Way bigger.
Yeah.
How tall is Bobby Massey?
I think he's listed at 6'7".
Is that all? The mass attack.
I mean, I guess that would be like a power forward in the NBA, but I mean, weight-wise. Anyway.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily think he's going to be any better than Kyle Long was at that specific position, but moving Kyle back to a right guard, I think overall makes your entire line better. Bobby Massey will be better at right tackle than any of those guards were at right guard last year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No. So you're taking those. You had two below average right guards last year in Vladimir Dukas and Patrick Omame, and you're replacing those guys with Kyle Long, a three-time Pro Bowler. And then I don't think you're getting any worse at right tackle.
And an easier name to pronounce. I mean, when you're going Vladimir Dukas and Omame, I mean, that was a huge challenge for those of us, you know, working Bears postgame shows and stuff. Now you got a Massey that's easy, and Long even easier. By the way, this guy's a fourth-round pick, right? Comes out, the Bears in that fourth round, the Bears took a tight end by the name of Evan Rodriguez. Can you recap the Evan Rodriguez tenure here? Because I don't remember a single bit of it.
Well, that's because he got arrested twice and cut really fast.
Ah, that was it. Okay. Well, Evan Rodriguez.
Great pick, Phil.
Yeah. One of Phil Emery's finest, Evan Rodriguez, as far as complete disasters.
Yes.
Who was the biggest disaster that Phil Emery picked? Who would you call the just the
disaster? Brandon Harden.
Oh, that was just that
never
was
played it down.
Right, that was a good one. What Harden was? What was third round
pick?
Right.
And I think they took him six spots ahead of Russell Wilson.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Could have had Russell Wilson, huh?
Yeah.
Which actually brings me to let's talk a little quarterback here, because we were just mentioning that you had Brock Osweiler, who may or may not be able to play football. I mean, we have a very small sample size. He's tall. He showed flashes, but also the accuracy wasn't his thing, which is tends to be an important part of football. The Houston Texans give him $72 million over 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, nearly $40 million guaranteed. You've got the Broncos' move was to go get Mark Sanchez, the butt fumbler, for a seventh-round conditional pick.
Okay, before you go here.
Yes.
Because I have numbers here that I want to give you.
Okay.
Supporting your idea to a point. Before we do that, though, this is a radio audible, because we told you we were going to talk to Darren D. McKee, right?
Oh.
McKee.
I see what we're doing.
And we're going to talk to him in a couple minutes. So we're going to flip-flop here a little bit. We're going to let you hear from Danny Trevathan
right now.
Well, I do want to get to what you were bringing up there with Brock Osweiler, though, because it's a great point. And if you compare the numbers that Brock Osweiler just got with Jay Cutler, there's a conversation to be had here. But I did get a chance to talk with Danny Trevathan, a new Bears linebacker, along with Adam Johns, my podcast co-host. If you don't listen to Intentional Grounding, find it. It's on iTunes. It's on WGNRadio.com. We talked to both Danny Trevathan and Bobby Massey.
I heard a rumor that you started out the interview asking a question about John Fox. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
He's a player's coach, and he's always a guy who instilled knowledge in me and the style of play. You know, he tell me, don't be stiff out there. Go out there and make plays. You know, he always have some kind of funny saying. And one that stuck out with me since my rookie year was, I checked my rule book today. It said you can be great, Danny. I said, what? Oh, I got you. Let me go out here and make a play then. And, you know, it's just stuff like that just stick with me.
This seemed just such a natural landing spot for you then. I mean, it's Foxy. I mean, everybody calls him Foxy. Even the guys who just get first to know him, it's Foxy. I mean, was this it? Was this the number one place on your list if you were leaving Denver?
Definitely was. I had some more offers, but, you know, there's nothing like, you know, when you have somebody out there and you know you got good chemistry with them, but also it's a great team with a great fan base. You know, I jumped at this opportunity, man. I was blessed. You know, they got so many great linebackers and defense around here, man. For opportunity to have my name mentioned among those, it's a blessing.
Now, the other not-so-obvious connection is Champ Kelly, right? You know him a little bit.
I know Champ. He went to Kentucky. I wish I got to meet him when I was there, but I didn't. I met him when I was at the Broncos, and, you know, he's one of the coolest guys I ever met.
Did he push for the Broncos to draft you out of Kentucky?
He actually did. He told me when I got there, he pushed for them to draft me, but it was some other people there. I had Wesley there. He wanted to get me there. Champ always been on my good side and always had my back, so, you know, I don't really know him like that, but he kept up with me like that.
What type of edge do you have? I think swagger is the word a lot of guys use now. I mean, you're a sixth-round pick. You've won a Super Bowl. You're a starter. You led your team in tackles. Here you are getting your payday with the Chicago Bears. I mean, pretty wild ride. I mean, what type of edge? I mean, talk about this for a second.
You know, I believe in grinding and going to get what you want in life, you know, no matter where you start from. You can always work your way to the top. My mom told me three things, like I tell everybody. She told me three things before she left me in Florida. She went to go take care of my grandma. I stayed with a friend. She told me, keep God first, stay humble, and no matter what you do in life, be the best at it. I don't care if you're the garbage man. So for her to say that to me, I'm telling her I want to do this, I want to do that. She said, garbage man, be the best at it. I don't care what you are, I'm going to be proud of you. That really stuck with me, and it made me, you know, whatever I do, be the best, and my mom will be okay with that. And if my mom okay, I'm okay. So every day I take that attitude and I approach it. And I had a little daughter, so that added fuel to the fire. So watch out now.
We got little kids too at home, so we know how that feels. You were talking a little bit about today about the size, or I guess we talk about it, or media talks about it a lot, and you probably heard about it a ton leading up to the draft, and maybe that's why you were drafting the sixth round, because it seems like size seems to matter so much in this league. But you've kind of debunked that since you came into the NFL, and is that just part of that fire that you were talking about and overcoming that?
Yeah, that's part of me just taking on challenges. I like people to tell me stuff I can't do. I'm like that little hard-headed child. You tell him you can't do something, he's going to go out there and do it. So, you know, I believe in, you know, making people think otherwise. And when people are doubting you, why are they doubting you, man? Because you let them go out there and show them wrong.
Last year, the Bears' big addition to the defense was Pernell McPhee. In his press conference, he talked about being violent, bringing that dog mentality to the Bears' defense. What are you bringing? What's the mentality you're bringing to this Bears defense?
I'm bringing some speed and some aggression as well. You know, Pernell is one of the – every time I watch him, it's always a train wreck on film. So, you know, that's the type of guy I like to be around. I like to be behind him and play with him because I believe our attitudes are so similar. You know, it's going to spread like wildfire on this defense. I think we're going to have one of the best defenses in the league if we get that started right now.
And speaking of that defense, Vic Fangio, I think you called him a wizard today. In your press conference, what does that mean?
I mean, he's slick with the calls, man. He knows what he's doing. I heard he's one of the coolest coaches in the league. And, you know, I get a chance to meet him here in a second. So I like the way he called games. And, you know, he get the offense this look but actually run a different play. You know, it's just stuff like that. You know, I can work with that. I can make calls. I can work with somebody who got a mind like that because that's how my mind thinks.
All right, new city for you. What do you know about Chicago? Where are you moving? Where are you living? You moving in the Trump Tower anytime soon?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about that yet. So I'm getting ready to tour the city in a second. But I know, you know, I love the city. You know, I'm from a small town, you know, but I love this city, you know, and I'm ready to get to this good food and good people.
Sounds like you're ready to play right away, too. You just won a Super Bowl, man.
That's old news. That was last year, but I ain't got my ring yet.
That is new Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan. Real quick, if you don't know Champ Kelly is, he's the Bears director of pro personnel, so there's a little bit of context there. He used to be in Denver, helped draft Danny Trevathan when he was there, so that's where that came from. And that interview is from our podcast, Intentional Grounding. Find it on WGNRadio.com or on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding.
I want to hang with Danny Trevathan. I don't know if he, you know, if I could be as cool as to be in his crew. I don't even know if I said that in a way that he would even consider me in his crew. Be as cool as to be in his crew. I'm probably already out.
Well, since he went to the Super, or since he won the Super Bowl, he has been to Hawaii and Disney World, two of my favorite places.
I mean,
I would go to Hawaii with him.
Right, I'd be a great traveler too. I could, you know, do something good. All right, Danny D-Mac McKee, our guy from Denver, will be joining us. So that was Danny Trevathan. Nobody. That was a great interview, man. I enjoyed that sit down. Very chill, Danny. Danny Trevathan. The Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients. As a full-service clinic, the Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care. It's all at an affordable price. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. Out to Denver next, 720 WGN.
Back here on the beat, Johnny Manziel has cleared waivers.
Yes. Can we sign Manziel? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But you do have an idea with quarterbacks here that you have hinted at a little bit. And this is stemming from Brock Osweiler, the guy of all of seven starts in the NFL. He beat the Chicago Bears, which, of course, earned him a lot of money. 4-year, $72 million contract with the Houston Texans this week.
So you've got the Scott Mitchell of today, Brock Osweiler, rather, thank you. Right? You remember Scott Mitchell, who played like seven games for the Detroit Lions, if that, and yep. Then he got a huge contract, the lefty, then he was just awful. Because people nowadays, you're talking about guys paying $100 million on potential these days.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not Pro Bowl players. These are not like proven dudes who can get to the quarterback or proven quarterbacks who can get the ball downfield. When you get to free agency, there's so much money in the NFL and there's so few good players available that people just take massive flyers for huge coin. And what I'm bringing up, or what I find interesting, is you look at Jay Cutler now. Cutler is almost a is a contract become super affordable.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure if you wanted to, you could trade the guy. If you're the Denver Broncos right now, I would think you'd take Jay Cutler in a second.
So, yeah. You trade him for Mark Sanchez.
Right.
And you Mark Sanchez.
You gave up a seventh-round pick, a conditional seventh-round pick, which is like basically giving up nothing, but we may give you something if we use him.
I reported this yesterday, but the final $6 million guaranteed in Jay Cutler's contract. So initially he had $54 million guaranteed in this massive $126 million contract. 54 guaranteed. The final six of the guaranteed money kicked in officially yesterday.
Saw that tweet by an Adam Hogue all over it.
So he will make $16 million this coming year. All of it is guaranteed no matter what happens. From this point on, though, there is not a single dollar on this contract guaranteed to him, which means the Bears have control of Jay Cutler for five more seasons, including this coming season. And after 2016, it essentially becomes a series of four separate one-year options, team options. They can cut him. They can trade him. They can keep him if he's good. They can do whatever they want with a 32-year-old quarterback that has been inconsistent but mostly better than a lot of the other guys you can go get right now, which I think brings us back to Brock Osweiler, who you bring up this contract he got, and it is 4 years, $72 million, $37 million guaranteed over the next two seasons.
Don't you think you should not go to school if you're going to be tall? Just listen, work on your mechanics. If you can just get to the NFL and show any chance of anything, you're going to be a millionaire. And if you like show more than that, you're going to be a $72
millionaire. If you're a quarterback.
Right. Continue on.
Let me ask you this. Brock Osweiler is going to make $12 million this coming season, including the signing bonus that he already got. But it comes out to $12 million. Jay Cutler is going to get $16 million. So Jay will make $4 million more this year than Brock Osweiler. But next year, Brock is going to get $16 million, and Jay will only be at $15 million. So next year, Brock Osweiler is going to cost the Texans more than the Chicago Bears, and that money for Jay isn't even guaranteed. So my question is, which quarterback and which contract would you rather have?
Right.
Absolutely Jay Cutler's.
There's no question. See your future, be your future. And as bad as that contract looked, and I crushed it, and I thought that they should have let Cutty go, but right now it actually looks okay. Here, real quick, let's get out to our guy Darren D-Mac McKeos to the Drive 104.3 in Denver. Darren, jumping on in here. We're talking quarterbacks. Hey, what do you think? Would the Broncos be interested in paying up to bring Jay Cutler back to town? Darren, go ahead.
Hey, man, you guys got that sucker deal years ago. We're not taking it back for anything. You know, nothing Jay Cutler has underperformed in Chicago has surprised us in Denver for 1 second. He is just not a winner. And now you guys know that for sure.
Well, I don't know about that for sure at all, but
oh, really? You'll keep finding out. It'll keep happening, trust me.
All right, well, we'll see. He did already go to the NFC Championship game once.
He had a good year this year, Darren.
Yeah, he did a great job. He did a good job carrying his wife's bag the next week too. He was awesome doing all those things.
All right.
That's Jay.
Okay, so Darren.
Well, let me ask you this then. Okay, so were the Broncos, and do you know if the Broncos were anywhere near the 4 years, $72 million that Brock Osweiler got from the Houston Texans?
Yeah, that caught the Broncos by surprise, guys. Rob, big surprise. There was a certain amount of maybe John Elway arrogance there, thinking, well, Brock's only worth so much. And that bit him in the butt. And the Broncos did come up to $16 million per, but it was too late. There were a large assortment of weird insults. I mean, the money's the biggest thing, okay? Let's not get it twisted. It's the money's the biggest thing. But there were a lot of weird things with Brock in terms of how he felt about the organization. And it wasn't good. And you got to live with that. So, tough spot for the Broncos. Trust me, they were surprised. They thought they had him locked out.
Did the Bears hit a home run with Danny Trevathan?
Oh, my God, he's such a good guy and such a good player. You are going to love his attitude, his work ethic, everything. The only scary thing about Danny is his history of injuries, and they've been pretty tough if you go back and look at it. Broncos didn't even make him an offer, and they've done that with kind of a handful of free agents over the years. It's not that they don't like Danny, but the injuries are suspect, and they've got to spend money in other places. But you are wait till you talk to him. The guy is just awesome, and he's one of Fox's favorite guys too, and it makes sense. If he stays healthy, you guys are going to absolutely love him.
So a lot of guys have left Denver. I don't know how many of those guys the Broncos wanted to retain or not, but has that caught you off guard at all with the exodus after the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, losing Malik Jackson was tough. Everybody was surprised by Brock. I mean, they put a low tender on CJ Anderson. You know, we'll see if they match that. I think they have a couple more days to see if they can match that. But, yeah, I think we've been surprised quite a bit. And, you know, they allowed Peyton to take his sweet time to figure out what he was doing. But they had told him in no uncertain terms quite a while ago that he wasn't coming back. but they waited forever. I wish they just sort of forced the issue a little bit more with Peyton, and they would have given themselves more time and shown Brock he was a higher priority. But that's kind of the sad sack life of Brock Osweiler. By the way, anybody who thinks Brock Osweiler is worth $18 million a year is crazy. He's the latest invention of Kyle Orton. That's who he is. So it's not like the Broncos are totally missing out. It's shocking. Would you pay Kyle Orton $18 million a year? Because that's who Brock is.
No, absolutely. So just to clarify, with that in mind, Denver would still rather have Mark Sanchez instead of Jay Cutler.
I don't know about that. I think Sanchez is a veteran stopgap sort of guy until they figure out if they're going to make a trade for Kaepernick or they're going to pull the trigger with RG3 or offer Fitzpatrick some money. You got to understand, they got nobody. So, I mean, we got nobody. You know, Sanchez is somebody. You know, who knows if Sanchez even makes it all the way through camp, that sort of thing. So that to me is just that's insurance. That's not the plan.
Darren D. Mac McKee, we appreciate you jumping on, my friend. Thank you for the knowledge.
All right, boys. Take it easy. Tell Foxy I said hi.
And we will. Bye. We will. 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Quick timeout. Get you into the 4 o'clock news. And then baseball's best player says baseball's boring. Is that a problem?
And another signing by the Chicago Bears right now.
720 WGN.
You may need to come out with a quote book. You know, I know that's a clown question, bro. It's really old, and that's a couple months old. But, you know, you have a new one at the kids' camp where you tell them to be as sexy as you can be, and that was caught on camera. Where did that come about?
You know, I just think, you know, when you're going out and you're swinging, you know, you don't want to be as tense and, you know, play the game, you know, so uptight and things like that. You know, just try to be as flawless as you can. You know, try to be as loose as you can. And when you're loose and flawless, you're sexy. So there you go.
That's Bryce Harper being sexy.
Wait, what did he say? If you're
loose and flawless, you're sexy.
Oh, I think that guy that just walked by our studio was loose and flawless.
A lot of loose and flawless on the streets of Chicago today, and probably all across this fine country. I'm loose and flawless, Hogue. Don't you see the easiness that I bring to my life, and then to yours when we're hanging out together? Don't you feel just a certain looseness over here?
When you're loose and flawless, you're sexy. So there you go.
I am sexy.
That guy with a fish on his hat is definitely loose and flawless.
Oh, is he loose and
look at that?
Yeah, I don't know about flawless. He's got a couple things he could maybe tidy up and drop there, but the hat's unbelievable.
And it makes him sexy.
Yes, you look good, my friend. There are some crazy. I mean, it's hard not to be distracted by what's walking.
Well, yeah. For those just joining the program, it is St. Patrick's Day here in Chicago, which means it is maybe the greatest people watching day of the year. And for our Allstate Showcase studio, which sits right on Michigan Avenue, and all these fine Chicagoans walking by, and probably plenty of visitors, because it's always the visitors that cause the trouble.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Well, no. I don't know.
There's no intoxication.
I don't know if I have stats, but in Madison, like for Halloween,
yeah,
and how big of a celebration that is there, there'll always be like, you know, however many arrests. And they'll actually list in the paper like where those people were from. And almost always, there's only like 3% of the arrests are people who actually go to the University of Wisconsin.
That's Adam Hogue blaming the...
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that the craziest people tend to be the people that come from out of town
to have a good time.
Have never done it before. have a good time. They don't know the area, and then they get in trouble. Anyway,
I was kind of remembering, like, somebody from this city went up there and partied one time and got a little bit out of control.
Yes.
But that was a long time ago.
So, there you go.
Yeah. All right, moving along. By the way, so that quote on Bryce Harper, the reason why we're bringing it up, if you're following along the baseball news this week, this was one for you. We're looking for some interaction here on The Beat, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200.
Real quick, I did tease that there was another Bears signing. They signed Mark Mariani, one-year deal.
I like Kaz Jr. is back.
Yes.
I love
Mark Mariani.
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 Unrein.
He's back to kick some.
Mariani, Unrein, and who else do we have today?
Jarrell Freeman.
Oh, yeah, Jarrell Freeman from the Colts. Oh, that's a real player. Right. I thought there was somebody else. Hey, I like Mariani. He's not really a real player, but I like him. All right, here's the question for you. 312-981-7200. Here's Bryce Harper. Quote, this is the best player, by the way, in baseball. I mean, phenomenal talent.
Gonna get Mike Trout?
We can split hairs on that. Fine, okay. Call him 1A. Whatever. The guy's
pretty good.
Here's the best player in baseball, the second best, saying this. Quote.
Better than Chris Bryant?
Right now, but not in, like, a year and a half.
Better than Kyle Schwarber?
Nah, I don't know. Although he tweaked the knee this week. I got some Cubs stats for you coming in the second year.
That's a clown question, bro.
Baseball's tired. It's a tired sport because you can't express yourself. This is Bryce Harper talking. You can't do what people in other sports do. I'm not saying baseball is, you know, boring or anything like that. But it's the excitement of the young guys who are coming into the game. He lists Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Manny Machado, Jock Peterson, Andrew McCutchen, Yasiel Puig. I don't know why I didn't mention any of the Cubs. He should have. There's so many guys in this game now who are so much fun. Jose Fernandez, a great example. He'll strike you out and stare you down into the dugout and pump his fist. And so the old school baseball guy, and you know who you are, and I actually used to be him myself, but I'm trying to mature this. I'm making a change on this. But old school baseball, get off my lawn guy, you can't do that. You can't do a bad flip. You can't taunt a guy going back to the dugout. That is not the way the game is meant to be played. And that is a disgrace to the game, actually. And Bryce Harper's saying, that's what's killing the game, man. Young people today, you want people playing baseball.
You're saying that people not doing that is killing the game.
Right. You want young people watching the game. You want young people excited by the game. You want your game to grow. And
I
not,
agree.
You're with them, right?
Because here's what you need, no matter what sport you are. You need those short GIFs on Facebook in the morning, right? You need those moments where people are going to their social media, whether it's Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, to say, oh, that's what happened last night. I got to go check that out. Because that's where the whole world's going. And if you're not producing that as a sport, you know, if you're not waking up to 3-minute highlight reels of Steph Curry,
yeah, or
just freaking out.
Or 15 seconds around the back, going into 3, bump.
You're falling behind. And in baseball, it is such a beautiful game. I love it. I'll never be bored by baseball. But there's just less opportunity for that in a slower-paced, very strategic game that goes over the course of 3 or 4 hours, which is another thing. They got to shorten the games, which they're trying to do. And actually, in spring training last week, I saw a bunch of games, and they did feel shorter. I thought that was, and the clock was noticeably shorter in between innings. It made it a lot harder for me to run to the bathroom and get back to my seat in time.
I love that,
which
clock
is the only drawback.
I love the clock. I'm in favor of the clock. It's a very simple question for you, by the way. 312-981-7200. Do you want more expression in your baseball? Do you want to see guys being more out in front of, perhaps you could look at it as taunting the opposition? I look at it like, look, man, if I strike you out and you're walking back to the dugout, I can yell at you. Sit down.
I like the individual rivalries, though, and the individual, like, you know, it got a little silly last year when Yordano Ventura, like, freaked out in that game against the White Sox. Remember that?
Yeah.
Was it Adam Eaton? I'm forgetting who was running the first.
I remember the meltdown. I don't remember who was involved.
Yeah, but he got mad about how, like, the guy ran the first or something like that. I'm trying to remember the
exact... it was Eaton. It absolutely was Eaton.
And it was totally... Now, it was, like, ridiculous just because, like, he was mad about something that he shouldn't have been mad about. But the bottom line was, when you're able to take a step back from that, and, Like, that kind of thing adds to a rivalry between two teams within the same division, and it makes me want to tune in the next time he's on the mound against the Sox.
Right. Real hate is good.
Yeah.
For viewing. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to... I'm not endorsing, by the way. I'm not looking for bench-clearing brawls.
No.
Not that at all. But I am... Listen... If somebody hits a home run...
Well, and by the way, I think it's ridiculous that baseball is the one sport where you're allowed to leave the bench with no consequences. No other sport. You can't leave the bench. You can't leave the sideline in any other sport. In baseball, it's okay. You're just allowed to go out there and kill each other.
Right. I agree.
It makes no sense.
If they wanted to stop that...
They could.
Automatic suspension. That's what the NBA did. It could be the same thing.
They don't want to stop it. You're right.
And 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in on... Because baseball is really like literally at war with itself. Because you've got guys, you know, yelling back at Bryce Harper. One of them in particular I find amazing, Sergio Romo, who's a reliever who has a whole lot of expression on the mound, and he's like super offended by what Bryce Harper had to say. And it's like, dude, he's defending you. you strike people out and you do all sorts of flair out there. And Goose Gossage, one of the old school, you know, he's a former Chicago Cub, if you remember, but, you know, most prominent with the Yankees. I mean, he had a complete meltdown on Bryce Harper in the game itself, so we'll play some of that audio coming back here. But it's like baseball, you need to have a little bit of an evolvement. The game will still be there. You're still going to be able to eat your peanuts and have your hot dog and Adam Hoke and go to spring training and have a great time like you did and become, what'd you call yourself right now for the White Sox?
Well, we're getting let's leave that as a tease. I do have a confession. I don't know if a confession is the right word. I've had a personal realization.
A shift, perhaps?
It's just more so me making a decision in my life.
Okay. I'm interested to hear
it's
all
not really
that.
Forced by anything or anything I saw or heard. It's just me coming to terms with reality.
Getting in touch with
my own reality,
your inner Adam Hoke, perhaps.
Maybe
that's exciting. We're gonna. I'm looking forward to hearing that next. 720 WGN.
0-2. A high fly ball. Sandberg. Cubs win. And Goose Gossage has a 300th save of his career. The Cubs have evened up the series by beating the Phillies 7-4. Oh, boy, it was good to see that pop fly go up. And Sandberg went on and handled it. And the Goose being congratulated.
I can listen to Harry all the time.
And there's got to be a way to resurrect Harry. Like, top 10 people that I'd resurrect in the history of sports, Harry might be one of them.
Have we talked about this before? I feel like we've done this topic.
Not with me. Maybe
I think last year I talked about this and said that if you could pick one sports figure to bring back, who would it be? And Harry's right up there.
312-981-7200. Please text those in. We won't take calls, but if you want to throw out names, we'll give them. I mean, Harry was the greatest. It was just so much fun. And that was Goose's 300 save. Before we get to Adam Hoge and his changing inner self here and around his Chicago White Sox, Goose Gossage completely lost his mind over what baseball is doing and over Bryce Harper saying the game is boring and over bat flips. So this was Goose talking on Bryce Harper.
Let it go to hell, because that's where it's headed. And you're going to let a young punk like Bryce Harper dictate this game? Are you serious? Do it as a professional. You don't have to style around the bases. You don't have to do all the frickin' antics because the camera's on you. That's the difference in the game today. No, I do not agree with him at all.
A young punk. Goose.
You don't have to do all the frickin' antics because the camera's on you.
Why? And he goes, why have him dictate things? He's one of the best players in the game.
Yes, he is actually going, if he's not the face of baseball quite yet, he will be in the next 2 years. Who's the face of baseball right now that Jeter's retired, right? I mean, who would you even say?
Yeah.
Mike Trout? Mike Trout walked down Michigan Avenue right now, how many people would recognize him? Seriously,
Plus, he plays on the West Coast.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so people in New York, particularly in the Eastern Conference or the Eastern time zone, never see him, really.
I mean, even if, like, if Kyle Schwarber walked down Michigan Avenue right now, Kyle Schwarber's not, he's barely 6 feet tall. Yeah, if Kyle Schwarber had a hat on, he's walking down, and it was like some non-Chicago Cubs hat.
Chris Bryant couldn't do it, though.
Chris Bryant's probably right. But Chris Bryant, I mean, you watch that Lyft commercial, right? I mean, he's driving people around. Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Well, there's been some other guys that have had that go on. But anyway, here's one more on Bryce. This was on Jose Bautista and the bat flip of last October baseball.
Bautista's a disgrace to the game. He's embarrassing to all the Latin players that ever played before him. Throwing his bat and acting like a fool, like all those guys in Toronto. Cespedes, same thing. Ryan Braun is a steroid user. He gets a standing ovation opening day at Milwaukee. Are you kidding me? How do you explain that to your kid?
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's a hero after throwing guys under the bus, getting people fired and lying through his teeth. These people. They don't have anybody passing the torch to these kids.
Yeah.
But the Deadspin headline on this was fantastic. Did you see it?
What was it again?
Old man swears at cloud, which of course is a play on the old Simpsons episode where they have the headline "Old man yells at cloud."
They don't have anybody passing the torch to these kids.
Yeah, no one's passing the torch.
Hey, by the way, I'll back him up on the Ryan Braun stuff.
Yeah, that part's cool.
That part was great. Actually, I like that part. The rest of it was insane. But
are you serious?
Right. Ryan Braun, steroid user, and they love him in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, Brewers fans. And I know you're listening out there, some of you diehard Brewer crew. Yeah, Ryan Braun, man.
But, like, why are you giving him a standing ovation for? Like, if you want to still like him, fine. But it's like, we got you. We support you. Great job, steroids.
And I mean, that guy just...
Great job. Like, I never understood that last year. Why are you giving him a standing ovation?
Well, what was worse about him, too, not only did he do the juice, but he lied about it. He threw people out of the bus. He got people fired. Stamio!
Right. Great job. You're a great guy. Good job.
Oh, well, you're a terrible person, but you'll actually help us win baseball
games. And don't tell me it was like, oh, we're just giving our best player standing out. No, it was defiantly, hey, we're doing this because of everything he's been through. So...
And one thing on Goose, too, it's like people just don't see themselves at all. Goose Gossage, first of all, his name is Goose. I mean, he inherently brought flair to the game that you don't have if your name is Bob. Second of all, he had the funky mustache. He had a pretty wild delivery. I mean, he wasn't somebody that was, you know, Mr. Scripted military man playing baseball. I mean, Goose had some of his own flair. So,
and look at what position he played. He was a reliever, which a lot of people, they don't even think the save is that important and should even be Hall of Fame worthy.
Right, and that exactly. Yeah. By the way, Goose, your stat, if you go old school baseball, like, you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But actually, you know, things changed and you got in. So I think we can just accept that things do change in life. And just because somebody's having a good time on the baseball field doesn't make them a bad person. Yeah. Jose Bautista reacting like he did was one of the coolest things that's ever happened.
I love that. I thought that was great. I mean, and by the way, kids everywhere were mimicking that and loving that.
Well,
and that's it was great for the game.
Well, and
so
that's
get
and,
out of here.
Well, and that's see, but that's what people. Okay, so like your 7 year old. Like we watched that video a little while back, right? 7 year old. He's in his backyard. He hits a bomb.
That's what they're doing. And that's what I used to do when I would like play stickball. I'd flip the bat. It was cool.
See, that's maybe
it was fun.
See, that's
harmless.
See, I was raised by World War II veteran Fred Carman. And, you know, if I would try to swing for a home run, I would literally get scolded. No. Line drive. Flat swing. Like, that's...
I'm all for that right now with the White Sox, which, by the way...
Yeah, tell us about how Adam Hogue is making a change with Adam Hogue.
So I have come to the realization, and maybe I should have done this a long time ago, because this probably applies to all sports, but no matter how much complaining or criticism I dish out about what the White Sox have been doing or not been doing over the last 2 years and their lack of direction and their confusing moves that don't really add up, it's not going to make a difference. They're doing what they do, right?
You're realizing you have no control. You're releasing control.
Well, I know that I don't have any control over it. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is that at this point, as they approach the regular season,
mm-hmm.
I might as well just accept what has happened going into this season and say, all right, let's see what happens.
So right. You're not...
Let's see what you did here, Rick Hahn.
So last year at this time, you were already throwing in the towel on the season, but right now, 2016, Adam Hogue, you're actually going in with some measure of hope.
I don't think I threw in the towel. I think I was just... No, I mean, the moves they made last year, there was excitement around the team.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Samardzija and then, company.
But my issue has been just like the lack of... Like, are you in or are you not in? You know what I mean? But I did see the team in person 3 times last week in Arizona.
Saw the pictures. They were solid.
And there's some pieces there. Todd Frazier is a good player. I'll tell you that. That combo of Jose Abreu and Todd Frazier looks pretty good.
Can we try something real quick?
Sure.
I'm Adam Hogue. And I am excited.
About the Chicago White Sox.
Now all together. I'm Adam Hogue,
and I'm excited about the Chicago White Sox.
How's that feel?
Yes!
How does that feel?
By the way, thanks, Rick Hahn, for giving my son James a baseball.
Oh, that's cool.
At practice. Very nice of him.
# Rick Hahn. Good job. How'd that feel? You feel good? You got a smile on your face.
And, yes!
And no, my change on the White Sox and that baseball have nothing to do with each other. He did not buy me off.
Sounds kind of like you did, but I'll take your word for it. With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Into the newsroom, and then we switch gears. A little college hoop. Jordan Cornett, who I think is like one of your favorite people of all time.
We've spent some time together back in the day at the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, you guys are buddies, and he's with Campus Insiders, 120 Sports, CBS Sports Network. College Hoops, your tournament brackets, how's it looking? And an update from the Big Ten tournament as well. We got a tight one, Michigan State, Maryland. News in 2 minutes, 720 WGN.
What was the play call on specifically on the one with 4 seconds left when you were under your basket passing in to Don?
It's none of your business what the play call was.
Yeah. Why is it? Just
ask him a question. It's none of your business what the play call was. Period.
All right, who's this supposed to go to?
Other questions for the student athletes?
Interesting exchange there between Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, and a reporter after Iowa loses to Illinois.
Oh, Fran. As a University of Iowa grad, myself and Mike Jacobson are... executive producer, as the Hawkeyes lost 6 of 8, and you lost to Illinois,
yeah,
who, by the way, is having massive trouble off the court, and I don't know if I'm Josh Whitman. I know that you just endorsed Coach Gross, but, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on around that program.
When did he do that, by the way?
He did that the day that he hired Lovey, which was what?
He gave John Gross a vote of confidence?
Yes.
So that's before the season ends, and... Given what he just did to plenty of fine coaches and their families, which, by the way, it's the business, and I think they made a great move for their football program. But, yeah, I agree with you. If I'm John Gross, I'm not exactly feeling...
Because
how can you justify the losing with the arrest? 3 arrests off the court this year.
Jalen Tate, who's a reserve guard, he was arrested late last night for...
Domestic battery, right?
Domestic battery, yep. Allegedly punching his girlfriend in the face.
Okay.
Which is...
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yeah. Illinois point guard Jalen Tate held at Champaign County Jail after being arrested early Saturday morning. A domestic battery charge, according to the Champaign Police Department. Coach John Gross, AD Josh Whitman, releasing a joint statement and the whole deal. So, and that's the third player to be arrested, suspended from the team this season. Darius Paul, back in August for vandalism, public intoxication, resisting arrest on a trip to France. That's not what you want to do. And then LaRon Black in February for pulling a knife on a bouncer at a champagne at a champagne nightclub. Let's bring in your friend.
Yeah, let's bring in.
And mine too, damn it.
Yeah, he could be your friend too.
I love Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Adam, Mark, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy? Jordan Cornett, Campus Insiders, 120 Sports, CBS Sports Network, everything.
The former Notre Namer.
That's right. I'm with us now. You were at the ACC tournament this weekend?
I was there covering the Irish, doing some work with the ACC Digital Network, and I was there to watch the feeding as North Carolina dismantled Notre Dame pretty handily last night. Back in Chicago now.
And everybody should know that Michigan State is walking off the court in the Big Ten tournament after beating Maryland. What final score here? Can we get a final here? Regardless, Sparty. Hey, Jordan, do you think that Michigan State's going? Oh, wait a second here. Maybe something wrong happened as I'm seeing Tom Izzo freak out. Did something terrible just happen?
I have no idea.
It was a three-point win. Three-point win for Michigan State.
Okay, thank you.
You guys bringing me in. After the conclusion.
Okay, they just showed Izzo having a meltdown.
Yeah, why don't you ask our college basketball expert what happened?
What happened, Jordan?
Michigan State up one. Denzel Valentine at the free throw line. Misses the free throw. Melo Trimble comes down with a chance for the win in the waning seconds. Forces one in the paint. Misses a layup. Michigan State then knocks down two free throws to go up three with .8 left. About 90 feet from the basket. A Hail Mary heave. Open a channel and enter UConn there. And Michigan State looked like they almost fouled the Hail Mary heave when they had a three-point lead, but the whistle didn't get blown. So Tom Izzo sweating it out on the sidelines.
So, Jordan, I don't know about you, but I love this Michigan State team right now. I think they're going to be a trendy pick to win it all in the NCAA tournament. And so I guess I'm not really
good. Has there been a year they haven't been the trendy pick, though? I mean, can you think of a year where it's not like, oh, it's Mark.
Yeah.
Well, they're top five in the country, though, right now.
But, like, last year they were trendy to pick in the Final Four because they weren't as great and they were just playing really well at the time going into the tournament. And sure enough, they made it. And then kind of reality hit once they got there and they played Duke. But this, don't you agree, Jordan? This team's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm just saying they could be a bubble team and I'd still take Michigan State in my Final Four. It's just something about them surviving and advancing. But, yeah, this team's special. It's the best shooting team Tom Izzo's ever had in East Lansing. It's one of the best stars he's ever coached in Denzel Valentine, a guy who leads the Big Ten in scoring, in assists per game, and defensive rebounding. So that just shows you the do-it-all kind of guy this man is, a Swiss Army knife. But they also are the best passing team in the country. So it all starts with Denzel Valentine's vision and his ability to pass it. But all the guys can pass it. They all can shoot. And they have that blue-collar feel that all Michigan State teams always have. Defensively, they protect the rim. They rebound, so it's one-and-done stuff. They're good in transition. They're just a tough team, but now they're gifted with the offense to complement it. So everyone's got to love this team, and you got a star. You got to have a star to go far in the tournament, and they have that in Denzel Valentine.
What has happened to the University of Iowa? Lost 6 of 8, Fran McCaffrey yelling at reporters. We played that sound right before you came on, saying, don't ask me about the plays. It's none of your business. Their final play call against Illinois. You lose to Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, Jordan. I mean, come on, Fran McCaffrey.
Well, yeah, you lose to Illinois maybe a decade ago, and it's not a big deal, but you lose to this Illinois team. It's a big deal. And Iowa's a team that's just, they can't figure it out. They're not defending. They're not shooting it at the clip they were before. Utah's kind of been here and there at points. I think you're looking at a coach who's frustrated because he can't figure out what's happened to a team that was one of the best teams in the country and one of the best teams in the Big Ten for most of the year. You always got to pay attention to what teams look like towards the back end of the year. And Iowa is a team that looks really bad right now. So if you look at your brackets, it doesn't matter with matchups. It's a confidence thing with those guys. They're shook right now, and they're playing really bad basketball. I think they're out in the first weekend.
If you're the new AD at Illinois, Josh Whitman, what are you doing with John Gross with the news that yet another one of your players was arrested overnight?
I mean, what is that, the third guy who's had an issue like this season?
Yep.
With a team that's playing like this. You know, Coach Gross is a friend of mine. He's a guy that coached my older brother at Butler as an assistant coach under Coach Mata there. He's a great guy. He's a high-character guy. I know he doesn't stand for any of this. They will act swiftly, like they're saying, with whatever, if it comes out that Tate is, in fact, guilty. But it's hard to overlook, you know, losing by 30-something points to Purdue. a terrible season. They've been out of the NCAA tournament for a couple seasons now. Issues like this, I mean, this is a proud program. There's capable guys who can come in there and have Illinois winning. Coach Pro can't seem to figure it out. I think if Tate is in fact guilty, I think you gotta move on. You gotta replace him, and you gotta look for another coach.
Yeah, I don't know who the Lovie Smith in basketball is, but I feel like they need to find that kind of guy that can kind of rejuvenate things. Because
bring Lovie Smith back. Bring Tubby Smith back into the Big Ten.
There you go. Actually, that wouldn't be a bad move.
I like it. Anybody who can win at Texas Tech can literally turn water into wine. I mean, if you can win there, Bobby Knight couldn't win there. If Tubby Smith could do it, I'm a believer that he should get another shot at the Big Ten. Now, age is probably an issue there.
Yeah.
I don't see that as being a bad hire, a short contract, just to turn it around, get some buzz.
What about a Bryce Drew, Jordan? Give me a Bryce Drew in Champaign.
Well, here's the other thing, is John Gross is kind of like a Bryce Drew to me. I mean, he's a young, sexy name, but you got to win Chicago. And you got to have somebody who's got that juice in the city. And Tubby Smith's a guy who could get these AAU coaches to be like, oh, yeah, I'll send that kid down there to play for Tubby Smith. Drew's not that guy. Gross isn't that guy, and that's why you don't have those big-name players. Now, I will say this at Gross's defense. If they were healthy, it would have been a more dangerous team. But if you really want to be a heavyweight, you got to get a name in there that's going to attract Chicago and the surrounding suburbs.
But you know what, Jordan? And we're talking to Jordan Cornett from Campus Insiders. Follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Cornett. If they were healthy, I feel like this is just a team that's sitting on the bubble and misses out on the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying there's talented pieces there. Hill's talented, Nunn's talented. Some of these guys are talented guys. But, yeah, I tweeted this a few days ago. There's no business for Illinois to lose games like that, to have a conference record like that, knowing how proud this program is. This is the home of the Flying Illini. This is the home of that team with Dee Brown and Darren Williams that did special things going to the national championship game before losing to a Carolina team. This is a team now so far removed from generating any of those feelings and emotions, and it's a shame, and you don't want to place it squarely on the head and shoulders of John Gross, but it kind of falls on the head coach, and you got to kind of make a change. You're doing it with football. You got a new AD. If you're ever going to make the statement to get the fan base and say, hey, we're going to get your attention, we're going to turn this whole thing around, with news like this Tate thing, it's the perfect out to make that move and get rid of who I believe is a great guy and a capable coach in John Gross. You got to move forward and go another direction.
All right, let's talk bubble here. A couple pretty important games yesterday and exciting games. Michigan gets a huge shot, three-pointer at the end, to give them a big win over Indiana. Let's start there. Do you think that Michigan is in now with that victory, even though they lost to Purdue today?
I think it's how they lost to Purdue. I think the fact that you lost by 17 points to a Purdue team that is not world beaters, it's a very good Purdue team. It's a top 20 Purdue team. But I think Michigan had to at least play them closer for the eye test portion of it. But I think to win that game would have solidified them as a team that was on the bubble but in. And I think now as you look at it, I think Michigan's the tournament team, but I'm fully expecting them to be left out come tomorrow.
All right, and then you mentioned the big shot by UConn, the three-fourths of a quarter court shot that sends them to fourth overtime where they win. That was a game between two bubble teams. What do you think happens with UConn and Cincinnati?
I think both those teams get in. I think the fact that it was a four-overtime game, people feel for that Cincinnati team, so I don't think they're going to get two losses within that one, losing a bid and losing the game. I think UConn was a team kind of on the bubble. Maybe one of those teams was one of the first four out. I think now they're in. And I think if Cincinnati won that game, they would have been a lock. Cincinnati's no longer a lock. They have to watch Selection Sunday now. But I think Cincinnati, along with UConn, both those teams get in out of the American.
Jordan, what did you think about Chris Collins' statement that basically he was telling his kids that they don't want us to win and we don't have that brand name, and he was super upset about a travel call, which, I mean,
he said the officials didn't have the guts to call it.
Which was not, it wasn't three steps, it was actually four.
I thought it was five.
It might have been five, regardless. What's your reaction to how Coach Collins was handling the situation?
You guys got to understand, Chris Collins, where did he play ball and where did he coach as an assistant for a long time?
I think that was Duke.
He's at Duke. so he's used to 8-on-5. So when you have three officials in your back pocket for most games, well, you're not used to not getting the whistle. And
that's
Chris
right.
Collins, understand, he's not sitting on Duke's sideline now. He's sitting on Northwestern's, a team that has never I repeat, never been to the tournament. So he's not going to get those calls. Chris, it's a little bit different world outside of Durham, buddy. You're in Evanston. It doesn't ring bells like that quite yet. You're doing a fantastic job. I think he's got them in the right place, moving in the right direction. He's going to get them into the tournament the next couple seasons if he stays there, if he doesn't move for another job. But he's got to say he's not going to get that whistle yet. That's not where they're at.
Yeah, but that was blatant, Jordan. Come on.
I think there is a human element to it, though. I mean, he kind of has a point that sometimes officials don't have the guts to make a big call like that.
I think it's a bang-bang play. To call out, you know, the manhood of an official and too scared to make a call, that seems a little harsh. Was it a missed call? I'll ride with that, absolutely.
All right.
Fair enough.
Good stuff, Jordan. You're the best, man.
Hey, Jordan, we got to go, but just throw out one school. Who are you picking to win it all? People doing their brackets tomorrow. Who do you got?
Kansas is the most talented team in the country. Best team Bill Self's had there in Lawrence. Too many weapons, too good defensively, shoot the ball too well. I love Rock Chalk.
Wow. Okay. Best team in Lawrence. That's a pretty big statement. Jordan, you're the best.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Jordan Cornett, Campus Insiders, 120 Sports, CBS Sports Network. Good friend of Adam Hogue's, Notre Dame.
Follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Cornett. That's a guy you're going to be following in the next couple weeks. Hey, by the way, tomorrow.
Cornette.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
This is your home for college basketball.
That's right.
We have a two-hour college basketball selection show special coming your way from 5 to 7. Now, we, of course, are usually on the air from 3 to 6 on Sundays. We will still be on the air from 3 to 6, but we're extending the show till 7, and from 5 to 7, we're going all college basketball. As the bracket is announced, we'll be talking about it, and we have efforted a number of college basketball coaches to join us in that time period, too, as the brackets are being revealed.
Yep, and don't forget, you can register now through March 17th for WGN Radio's Bracket Battle. It's sponsored by Al Pamani Ford. Fill out your bracket, make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament. You compete against your favorite WGN radio hosts. How's your bracket going to look this year, Hogue? For the chance to win cash prizes and a 2-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus, a perfect 63-game bracket wins you $1 million in the person's. Well, with the person with the highest point total wins the 2-year lease from Al Pamani Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings and see how you stack up against the WGN radio family. I'd be very leery of Wendy Snyder. I think that she's going to have a huge, huge pool this year. Register today and get details at WGNradio.com/bracket battle. Quick timeout, get you into news, and we have a lot coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We'll tell you about it right after this on 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Happy St. Patty's Day from yours truly.
I think you just scared a child outside the studio.
It's okay.
She immediately started running.
This is, right, and I should say the unofficial St. Patrick's Day, right?
Right, because I believe we're still 4 days away from the real, no, 5 days. It is Saturday, March 12th, according to my handy-dandy smartphone. And but this city basically just decides to celebrate whenever they want.
It is interesting that we didn't go 19th and we went 12th. You would think 17 to 19 is closer than 17 to 12. I don't want to show off my math skills here, but it seems logical to me that we would have celebrated on the 19th. Can you explain why we're celebrating on the 12th, Adam Hogue?
It's just apropos to go the week before the 17th.
Ah.
I don't know why. It's just what the city does. And then they, as I mentioned earlier, if you are out and about downtown Chicago right now.
You are not alone.
No, you are not. You are not even close to alone. It is the best people watching day of the year, in my opinion. A lot of different things going on. A lot of different hairdos.
Some significant scantily cladness going on here.
Yeah, by the way, it's still cold outside a little bit.
It's not. It's not summer. That is true.
Remember a few years ago when it was 80 degrees on St. Patrick's Day, and I believe I want to say that that was actually St. Patrick's Day too. It fell on a Saturday, and it was 80 and sunny. You think it's crazy today. It was insane that day.
Well, we've been holed up all winter long. By the way, I know. You know, the clocks are moving forward. Tonight's the best day of the year, although I hear that I was watching some report on Nightly News the other day that says when you move the clocks forward, there's a significant increase of heart attacks. So,
what?
So people, because your rhythm, the whole deal.
So if you fly to the East Coast where it's an hour ahead, you have a heart attack?
No, just daylight savings time is bad for you. Jacobson, you got something on this?
Happy daylight savings.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's so depressing.
Well, that's tonight. I consider, see, tonight's the...
But I'm just confused about why it causes a heart attack.
Because it's in your body's off. All of a sudden, it's an hour, and the day's not normal, and you're not used to it. We need to get rid of daylight savings time. There's no reason for it.
Arizona doesn't have it.
Right.
I was in Arizona last week. They don't move the clocks.
But it's like a rite of passage, though. Because you've made it through the winter. Summer is coming.
It gives me an extra hour to grill.
Right.
And before it gets dark, and I like that.
So just remember, set your clocks forward. All right, quick timeout. Get into the 5 o'clock hour. There's some great stuff with buried headlines.
Yeah, we got a couple stories involving college coaches/players, and also I have a sad story involving a dog.
Sweet, that's next. 720 WGN.
The Beat.
Racing results by wire soon. Radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information. And a businessman lives and sometimes dies on its value.
That's right. Time for Buried Headlines, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. He's Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Harmon. And honestly, the story that we're starting today, I'm pretty certain this segment was created for our guy, Dennis Clifford. Hashtag D. Cliff. So Dennis Clifford, you might not know that name. You might be driving around saying, who's Dennis Clifford? But if you were paying attention this week, Boston College, who's had an incredibly rough season on both the football field and the basketball court, winless in conference in football, winless in conference in basketball, 0-19 in the ACC, and they go out. It's their final game, the ACC tournament, because everybody makes it. They lose to Florida State. Dennis Clifford's a senior. He'll never play another game for Boston College. The reporter asked him, do we have the reporter's question on there? All right, I'm going to turn down the music so we can all just take in the moment and the silence.
What are you going to take away as your best memory from playing basketball at Boston College?
Probably just like...
Head down. Thinking. Not coming up with anything. Still thinking.
Going out to eat.
Going out to eat. Maybe the best thing that's ever been said in the history of college hoop. 0-19. Well, that trip to Golden Corral was awesome. Maybe they
going out to eat.
Okay,
am I a bad person? A little bit.
It's a great response.
Going out to eat.
But he was like legitimately sad.
Oh yeah, no, he was. Listen, I get emotional on Senior Day every year. When Trey Demps and Alex Ola are playing their last game at Northwestern this season, I've a little tear comes to my eye when they honor him. But this was just something I'd never seen before in my life.
I just want to know what was going through his head like during that silence. Before he came up with going out to eat.
Going out to eat.
Going out to eat.
You know about...
I'd hire that man.
You know what the Iditarod is?
I do.
Yeah, the dog sled race.
Love dogs.
Iditarod officials said a snow machine attack on two top Iditarod teams has left one dog dead and several injured.
Uh-oh.
Two Rivers musher... Ali Zirkel and Denali Park's Jeff King reported a snow machiner repeatedly attempted to harm their dog teams as they traveled to the Yukon River checkpoint of Nulato early Saturday morning. King's team was struck, according to a press release from the Iditarod Trail Committee, resulting in the death of 3-year-old Nash and non-life-threatening injuries to two others, 2-year-old Banjo and 3-year-old Crosby. A dog in Zirkle's team also received a non-life-threatening injury. The dog was not named in the release. A video from Iditarod Insider shows Zirkle driving in the checkpoint Saturday morning. She appears to be shaken when asked how she's doing. Later in the video, she wipes away tears while describing the incident. Quote, "I'm really bad," she told race judge Karen Ramstead. Quote, "Someone tried to kill me with a snow machine." According to an Alaska State Trooper dispatch, troopers received a report Saturday morning that...
What is happening?
That Zirkle had her dog sled hit on the side by a snow machine about five miles south of the village of...
Of what?
Koyukuk? On the Yukon River. Troopers reported that the snow machine turned around multiple times and came back at her before driving away. Zirkle later had contact with the snow machine again, approximately 12 miles before reaching Nulato, where the snow machine revved up and pointed at her before finally leaving the area. Zirkle was not injured, but one dog was bruised during the incident. The trooper dispatch said King was hit from behind by what appears to be the same snow machine about 12 miles outside of Nulato, killing one dog and injuring others. So basically, this is
like a real story, dude. This is
it sounds frightening as all heck.
Yeah,
you're in the middle of nowhere with your dogs, and someone is repeatedly coming back on a snowmobile.
It's kind of like
trying to run over your dogs.
It's like the Monica Seles tennis incident with the stabbing, and the best equivalent to the Iditarod that I've ever heard. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Or Tanya Harding going after Nancy.
Come on, man, that's man's best friend. And it's competition. This is a bad, bad combo. You all right? Because I know you're a huge dog lover. I'm a dog lover, too.
There's one in here that says Nash died almost instantly.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like the dog was just, like, completely run over. Like, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's not good. That's a little bit rough. But let me tell you this, Adam.
Yeah.
There's great animals out there right now that you could... that you could bring into your family and adopt. And if for those of us who are thinking about bringing in an animal, like I'm going to do myself. I'm on the cusp. I've looked at a couple. I wasn't planning on...
This is breaking news.
Yeah, we'll see. Your story is not at all relevant to that, but it just makes me...
Well, I don't think... Are you getting a dog or a cat?
Oh, I'm getting a dog. I have... The single guy with the cat...
Don't hate on that.
It's just a bad look.
No, it's not.
It's a terrible look.
Like you mean when you bring a woman home and...
Yeah, there's a cat. No, can't do it.
No?
Can we move along to a man?
Yeah, but we're coming back to this.
Okay. Here we go. How about our guy talking about a manly man? Donald Sterling. Do you see what the Don is up to? Not the Trumpy, who we'll talk about at some point today, but the Donald and the Donald Sterling. Remember when he filed for a divorce from Shelley? Remember he called her a pig during court proceeding? They were fighting over who would retain control of the Clippers. What a guy, the good old Don. Well, they have reconciled. Donald and his wife Shelley are back together. Here are the lawyers. Notwithstanding all the difficult events of the last 2 years, the Sterlings have resolved their differences. That's from Bobby Simini. Donald is back with wife Shelley, who was also represented by a fine lawyer. His name was Pierce O'Donnell.
What?
Donald and Shelley are coming back together, and they will live on in whatever Donald and Shelley do. Forget about, what was her name? My favorite person ever. Jackal, what was her name? Oh, V. Stiviano. Forget about V. Stiv and those moments. If you were a listener back in the old days to the old night game, I had a huge crush on V. Stiv. Donald and Shelley. Adam Hogue has a look at his face of just complete disgust right now that Donald and Shelley have reconciled.
Well, it's just like, how does this happen?
I don't know how it happens, but it happened. Right. Love conquers all, Adam. That'll do it for Buried Headlines.
That was a depressing Buried Headlines. Well, I guess end we finished on
your story was
kind
depressing.
Of a disgusting high note.
Mine was uplifting.
Mine was terrible. Like, I'm actually sad having read it, even though I already knew the story before I got to it. like saying the words out loud that Nash was killed instantly. Good old Nash.
Nash gave it, R.I.P. Nash gave it everything that Nash had. And
think about it, man. You're a dog giving it your all. Like, it's already stressful. And you just get run over by a snowmobile.
I don't want to make light of the moment in Timer, but he died doing what he loved most. Being a dog running in the snow. They never, they say never shop on an empty stomach, but Brittany and Elliot have your hunger covered with Chicago's Best Markets, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. You had a great moment yesterday, so to speak, being a part of the Rokan show.
I thought it was a big moment for this station.
It really was. So we will talk about that and... It's like an Adam Hoge inner day here on the beat. It was a pretty cool moment for you yesterday around the Donald Trump rally. So we'll do a little bit of that. And we have there's a sports flavor to it. We'll explain that. 720 WGN.
Barack Obama's a fine man. I mean, he's pleasant. He would be great to play golf with. He's not a leader. This country needs leadership. It needs direction. It needs somebody that steps up front. We need somebody like Ronald Reagan. Every once in a while, you're going to get punched in the chops, but you keep going forward. That's all there is to it. You know, it's not always going to be a perfect situation, but, to do what he does, there's no leadership there. And I think that becomes very disgusting to me.
Mike Ditka, 2-year extension from ESPN, no longer on Sunday NFL Countdown, but will be doing other things, doesn't want to do the travel.
Your thoughts on ESPN not listening to you?
Well, it's, you know, I
just thought it was hilarious. You call for his firing, and then he signs a 2-year extension.
I might have done that with you off the air. I don't think I did it on the air. Did I do it on the air? Did I ask him?
I don't know.
I don't think I did. I just said that employers have the right to employ people who have political opinions and put them out there as boldly as Mike did there. If I was an employer, I wouldn't be thrilled with somebody calling the president the worst president that we've ever had. That just wouldn't be... I would not allow my employees to do that.
Well, he is a supporter of...
Donald Trump?
The guy, Donald Trump.
That was an interesting day yesterday. You were doing sports on the Rokan show.
So I was on the sports desk yesterday afternoon and about 6:30, getting ready to do my final sports cast of the night. Rokan was about to toss it to the newsroom, and he decided to check in one more time with the live Trump rally feed that we had going on just to hear what music they were playing because we were having fun with the music they're playing. I actually said that the one thing I have come to like about Donald Trump is his music selection.
He does have a good musical selection. I agree.
Ironically, they were playing Rolling Stones' No Satisfaction at the time.
I thought it was You Can't...
You can't always get what you want, which was a great lead-in to the announcement that was made live here on WGN. The music cut out. Whoever that was stepped up to the podium and said the rally has been postponed. The raw audio to me was surreal. You could clearly hear the jubilation of the protesters and the gasps of the supporters at the same time. You could like hear it clearly. And I have to give credit to Roe, Anna DeVlantes, Ryan Burrow, Patty Vasquez, their producer Jeff Carlin here, who did just a great job, I thought, of kind of quarterbacking everything. And they just did a great job covering this huge news on the fly.
Yeah, I was listening, and it was unbelievable. It was truly a great job by everyone. Throw Violetta in there, too, was talking about what was going on in the street. I mean, I thought...
And Rob Martier in the newsroom.
I mean, it was a strong, strong job by WGN, and really an amazing moment. I mean, it was the first rally that did not happen, and it happened here in Chicago. Now, I thought that Roe made a great point saying, you know, why he scheduled this rally at the UIC Pavilion. I mean, it wasn't, you know, if you had scheduled it perhaps at the Sears Center or something along those lines... Maybe
you mean like not right in the middle of the city?
Right. I mean, to put it in, right in the middle of downtown.
In the middle of Friday rush hour?
Right. In a state that votes Democratic 99% of the time, it was an interesting choice.
It was.
And, you know, people are, I just, and I thought, you can go to WGNradio.com, by the way, if you missed it, and you can hear, it's a phenomenal listen.
The raw audio of what it sounded like right here on WGN at the time.
You know, and everybody, you know, I thought Anna had some tremendous comments about really, you know, whoever you're supporting here, it's just sad. Like, that, you know, how divided everybody is, and here's a guy who, you know, he came here to speak and he wasn't allowed to, but like he could have spoken.
But he was allowed to.
Right, that's the other part. I want to
touch on this as for what exactly happened last night.
Sure.
Cuz I think some people need a refresher on the definition of free speech.
Please go ahead.
Free speech protects you against the government.
Right.
Okay? The government did not stop Donald Trump from speaking last night. He made the decision.
Nor did the cops, by the
right.
way.
Right. And they made that perfectly clear. Trump made the decision not to speak. And furthermore, free speech doesn't mean you can just say whatever you want to say without a rational human being like you or me objecting to that nonsense. And what Chicago did, what this city did last night, was object to Trump's hateful messages, his not-so-subtle bigotry, and his promotion of violence lately, which is just ridiculous. I thought Chicago said, no, we're not going to allow those hateful messages to be spread in the city. And I have to be honest, Carm.
Yeah.
I grew up in the city. I've lived here my whole life except for the 4 years I lived in Madison, Wisconsin in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had doubts lately about whether or not I should raise my son here. Because we have plenty of problems, not just in Chicago, but in this state right now. But I'm...
You're not alone in that thought, I'm sure.
I mean this, though. When I woke up today, I was proud to be a Chicagoan.
It was cool.
And proud to work here at WGN Radio.
Yeah, I thought it was and listen, again, he could have gotten up and he would have been shouted down, but it was a free event. People showed up, and that's when it went down. It's interesting, you know, looking at what's going on in the country right now, it's pretty sad how divided we are. People, it's just however the election goes, to see the amount of
hate. Don't you think it's a reflection of the candidates?
No, I think there's just a lot of angry people out there. I mean, sure, the candidates are part of it, but I just think people are angry, man. People are overstressed. There's just a lot of contempt out there, and I mean, I'm not gonna sit here on our sports show and try to pinpoint that down, but that's how I see it. Just an angry two sides, and you know, and the election is bringing it out, and Donald, you know, is as big of a lightning rod as you can possibly find it. But it was again, just bringing it back to WGN, just a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I recommend the listen highly, WGNradio.com. It's worth your 15, 20 minutes of the coverage that they did impromptu.
Everything was on the fly. We blew out the 6:30 news.
Yeah. Yep, it was good stuff. All right, quick timeout. Coming back after 5:30, we're going to talk with Chris Hine, a little Blackhawks talk, and Chris with a very, very personal piece that he put out there this week, so we will touch on that with him. 720 WGN.
Left point, Russell to Spezza, top of the right circle, to Sagan, inside the left circle, send it toward the net, they score! Power play goal, Dallas now leads the game 4-0. Jamie Benn was posted up beside the Hawk net and redirected that one past Crosby.
Blackhawks lose to the Stars last night. Kind of a big game in March. They got the Kings coming up Monday night at the UC. Time now to bring in Chicago Blackhawks beat reporter Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. But before we get to the Hawks, first, Chris, I want to commend you on the piece you wrote this week with the headline, NFL still in closet about anti-gay culture. Obviously, this story hit home for you, and I want to commend you to writing about it. And essentially, you came out gay publicly in the Tribune, but you haven't in other parts of your life. But anyway, it took a lot of courage for you to write what you wrote, and I commend you on that. Can you tell us a little bit about how it came together and why you decided to write about this?
Sure. First of all, I don't really feel courageous. I feel fortunate that I was able to write that piece, and that I've kind of reached a point in my life where you know, friends, families, coworkers, colleagues, people that have known have kind of made me, you know, feel comfortable enough in my own skin where I can reveal that information without much trepidation. But really what came about was last week when I read about that story about Eli Apple interviewing with the Falcons, and the first question he was asked was, do you like men? I was just taken aback by it, by how insensitive it was, how awkward it was. And I was thinking to myself, this is the reason why, you know, a gay athlete can't come out of the closet, because there is such an atmosphere of homophobia and questions like that create an atmosphere of intolerance. And I'm like, well, maybe not everybody knows that that's what a question like that does. So maybe I should try to tell them like how it feels to see that kind of question as a gay man and as someone who struggled with that very question for many years.
And how did that go down as far as the paper was concerned, Chris? I'm just curious. You say, hey, I'm thinking about writing this, because, you know, normally you're writing about the Blackhawks, and this is obviously something different.
Right.
So how did that go?
I contacted, you know, my editors. I kind of wrote the piece first and said, you know, here's this thing. You know, you have a read of it. Let me know what you think. And they were, you know, to their credit, and I get Joe Knowles and Tim Bannon have been having absolutely great, they're our sports editors, Joe being the main sports editor, Tim, our deputy. And, you know, it's, they've nothing but supportive, and I really thank them for allowing me to write this and giving it such prominence online in the paper. And, you know, it means the world to me. It really does.
Had you shared your personal life with them before?
I had, yes. I actually, when Joe took the job about 2 years ago, I actually told him about that. One of the first times I met him, and I said, you know, there might come a day where I kind of feel the urge to write something about that, whether I come out of the closet or not, or whether I want to write about gay issues in sports. And he was all about it, and you know, whatever I wanted to do, you know, it seemed like we would be able to find a way to do it. And it took a while for something to happen to really kind of stoke the inspiration in me, but last week it happened.
Well, Chris, I think it's always important in the sports world. There's a good website, outsports.com, that's done some fine work on this, specifically with the NFL too, where it seems to be a hot button issue. But I liked in your piece where you kind of got personal for a second and even mentioned that sometimes you get asked, do you like men? And there's sort of like this idea that, oh, you write about sports. How can you be gay too? And can you just talk about
right.
that? I hate to talk about questions, but can you kind of expand on that
and
what you wrote about in your piece?
It's kind of meant to be kind of a funny kind of aside, I guess, to the piece, because the reaction I get when I tell straight people and straight or in gay men what I do, you know, the reaction I get from straight men is usually like, oh, your job is so awesome, I would love to have your job, it's great. And you know, most of the reaction I get from gay men is like, you write about sports, I don't really like sports, what exactly do you do, how does that work? So it's just kind of a funny way of funny interactions that I get on an almost daily or weekly basis. It's just such a dichotomy in the straight and gay communities as to what I do.
Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune, with us here on 720 WGN, covering the Blackhawks, but talking a little personal life here. Before we get to the Hawks, Eli Apple comes out and he tells this story, right? And he's an Ohio State cornerback, and this is a hetero guy, so there's that. But the other side of it is that he was vocal about this was the question that was asked him. Do you think that impacts where he'll get drafted?
I don't know. It was I saw the interview in which he revealed this information. It basically was. It was almost like a casual kind of conversation. It wasn't like he meant to come out and say, oh, this is an indignity and I was asked this question and this is awful and I don't want to play for them. It was just some TV interview I think he was doing in Philadelphia, I believe, and one of the hosts of the show asked him, what was the weirdest question you got at the NFL Combine? And he just said, one of the guys from the Falcons asked if I liked men. Yeah, it was just kind of almost a throwaway kind of moment in a TV interview. I hope it doesn't affect where he gets drafted, because he did something very important, and that was to shed a light on what's really going on behind the scenes in the NFL when it comes to its anti-gay culture. You know, they publicly want to say and do all the right things, but a moment like this reveals just how far they have to go before attitudes like this get eliminated from the sport.
So I got to admit, I'm a little skeptical about the reasoning for this question even being asked in the first place. And you mentioned in your piece that Apple explained that the assistant was saying, okay, well, if you're going to come to Atlanta, sometimes that's how it is around here. You're going to have to get used to it. And that's a direct quote from Apple about what the assistant said. I mean, do you buy that he's really talking about the culture in Atlanta, or does he really want to know, hey, are you gay? Because I'm still skeptical that teams are hesitant to bring somebody in that might be gay, and that's unfortunate. And I've written about this too, and I'm questioning the question.
I think ultimately what the assistant is getting at is, basically, are you gay? That's what they want to know. They want to find out if they're bringing aboard a gay player, and if there's going to be any problems with that or any issues with that. I'm not really buying that the assistant's intent was, oh, there's a lot of gay men in Atlanta, and you know you're gonna have to deal with that. Even if that was the assistant's intent, it's an awfully weird way to begin a conversation.
Yeah.
and it still kind of lends itself to, oh, there's gay men in Atlanta. You're going to have to deal with this, you know, whether you like it or not, essentially, was the tone I read into what Apple was saying there. And it just, whatever way you want to spin it, it's not a positive thing to ask. It is definitely insensitive. And it's just not a question you should be asking. And thankfully, it's against NFL rules for them to be asking that.
If you play with matches, you can start a fire you can't control.
Sorry,
that is not leadership. It is
news, Carm. Yeah. Sorry about that, Chris. Go ahead.
That's all right. I was like, yeah, I don't know if a drop was coming in during my thing here. but we got a... Yeah, it's just an insensitive remark, and I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
On a slightly lighter note, I can somewhat relate. When I was in college at the University of Iowa, and they asked me at the pizza joint that I was trying to be a delivery man for, are you cool? Because they wanted to make sure that I you know, was a part of the wacky tobacco culture and that I would fit in with everybody. That's the closest that I could come to the experience. But I, before we get to Hawks, I am curious, like, your opinion watching it. Like, Michael Sam, is he in the NFL if he doesn't come out? Because I think he is. I mean, all day. SEC Player of the Year? There's no spot for that guy in the NFL? Adam's giving me the look here, Chris.
Yeah, I always thought that definitely hurt his draft stock. I realized that, you know, he wasn't a lock from the get-go. But I do think it eliminated... like, him coming out basically took a bunch of teams off the board right away.
I think that's true.
And it limited his options. I think there were teams that were – obviously, there was a team still willing to give him a shot, and the Cowboys signed him after St. Louis cut him. You know, but I do think it cut down on some of his options. Whether it blackballed him from the entire NFL, I don't know, but I do think there were maybe – 10 or so teams that probably looked at this and said, we don't need this. You know, we've got enough problems. We don't need a gay player coming on. I really do think that existed 2 years ago when he was coming out.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. And the only reason I was sort of hesitant there at all was because the only problem with him was he was a borderline NFL prospect to begin with. So it just made it a little bit harder to figure all that out. But I completely agree. I wrote about it at the time. I think that did happen. Hey, Chris, we do need to ask you about the Hawks here before we let you out of here.
Perfect.
And what happened last night? I mean, that's a big game, and it just sort of got outplayed from the start, it felt like.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Toews after the game basically said we weren't quick enough, we weren't working hard enough, they just were ready for us, and the Stars – were down three defensemen and Patrick Sharp last night. The Hawks had every advantage on paper. Marian Hossa is coming back. You know, they had every advantage to win that game last night, and they didn't. They just fell flat. The Stars just wanted that game more last night. And the struggles for the Hawks and the penalty kill just keep continuing. You know, they've since Hossa went out on February 13th, and this continued through last night, they've allowed goals on one-third of their penalty kills, which is a pretty bad percentage. So that's the biggest issue right now that they need to clear up.
It seems like Q is really loving his new toy in Tomas Fleischmann. I mean, he's getting a lot of run. He's playing. He got a ton of minutes in OT the other night, and that's a tool that Q's taken to. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Him and Teuvo Teravainen have really hit it off from the start here. They played against the Capitals together. That was the first game they played, and they looked really good in that game, and honestly, I thought they've looked really good since. Now, last night, Dale Weiss crept up to that third line, which is kind of what everybody assumed when they traded for Fleischmann and Weiss, that they were going to play together on a line with Teravainen in the middle. And it produced two goals last night. So if there was one positive that you could take away from last night's game, it was that line produced two goals for you last night against the Stars. So I think that's something to watch going forward, is just how well those guys play. They made these acquisitions in part because they wanted to bolster their scoring depth and along the bottom line of forwards. And if they keep playing like this, that could be an acquisition that was well made.
Hey, Chris, real quick, do you think Wednesday's game was very physical? And I know they had a day off in between, but they're in the middle of a road trip. Do you think that the team was tired at all last night, the carryover from Wednesday? Because
I don't think so, because I saw the Blackhawks beat the Blues in a playoff series where you're playing every other day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily buy that they were tired. You know, maybe as the season's gone on here, they might be able to use a little bit of a break. But I, in general, 2 years ago, they were down 2-0 in a playoff series against St. Louis. Like, you're playing every other day, and they came back and won that series in six games. So I don't think fatigue played much of a role in it, to be honest. I just don't know why they came out flat. And sometimes you can attribute that to fatigue. Like, they've come out flat on the back ends of road back to backs this season, and you can say, well, you know, their legs are probably a little tired. I don't know why they came out so flat last night, and I don't think they do either.
Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune, doing great work both on the ice, and a fascinating piece about the personal life this week. Chris, we really appreciate you, the writing, and you coming on to talk about it. It's always great to have you on the show. You're doing a phenomenal job, sir.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I always like coming on here. Thank you.
Carol King next time, sir.
You got it.
All right, Chris Hyde from your Chicago Tribune. That was a really great stuff from him this week, and he said he wasn't courageous. It was extremely courageous.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I mean, come on.
It's hard to put. I mean, we can't really put ourselves in his shoes.
Cannot.
But to write about that in the Chicago Tribune is
that website gets awesome. a little more love than markcarman.com. which is a great site, too, by the way.
And Chris is really a great guy, and he does a great job on the Hawks beat.
Yes, he does. All right, quick timeout. Adam has one more segment, and then he's going to leave me as we get into Wildcat Insider. So we're gonna get emotional coming back here, Hogue, to say goodbye to you.
Okay.
Is that going to make you uncomfortable?
Do we need to be emotional? I mean, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm excited about tomorrow. They're actually giving me permission to talk about college basketball for 2 hours.
You are excited about that, aren't you?
I know.
All right, 720 WGN.
I tell you that I'll be on Twitter, and here I am.
Love that video.
That's your guy, the Love Dove, Lovie Smith.
Did you see that video?
No, I did not.
I mean, it was
I don't
just,
think I did, at least.
It was the most lovey way to get on Twitter, I feel like.
The Love Dove?
It was like literally a second. I told you I'd be on Twitter, and here I am.
I tell you that I'll be on Twitter, and here I am.
Like, that was the video. There was no more. It felt awkward to me.
How is he as popular with his players And just
because he doesn't act, he is a completely different person with his players than he is in the media.
So it's I'm watching the video right now. It's Lovey, ribcage on up, wearing his Illinois sweet little pullover. I told you I'd be on Twitter, and here I am.
All right, that's it.
But that's at Illini football. I want his own account. Does he have his own account yet? Because I don't see an account. Oh, at Lovey Smith.
At Lovey Smith.
At Lovey Smith has how many followers?
They got a lot in a very little amount of time.
He's tweeted 9 times. He's got 18,300 followers. Great to have Coach McGee, who they stole from Louisville.
How do you feel about Lovey Smith already having more Twitter followers than you?
Having 12,000 more Twitter followers than me in 5 seconds? What a creepy picture of Lovey on this. I don't feel good about it, Adam.
Oh, my God, that was loud.
Lovey Smith, great team win by at John Gross in Illini men's basketball. Keep it rolling. Hashtag Illini. Hashtag we will win.
I tell you that I'll be on Twitter, and here I am.
What do you think about hashtag we will win?
Hashtag we'll see. Illini class at 2:30. Never too early to start recruiting. He's got a picture of a... What would that make you? 2030. I don't know if I'm math capable to figure that out quite yet. You would be 22 graduating in 2030, so that would be... Yeah, I can't do that. It's too much.
I gotta admit, I was a little... As much as I loved being at Sloan Park last Saturday...
This kid's 8 years old. I just figured out. Yes, as much as you loved it being at Sloan Park...
Watching baseball, enjoying a couple brews.
Yeah.
I was a little jealous that you guys were on the air with the Lovey Smith news breaking.
Well, that is your that's your lane. You should have been here for that.
I know. It's college, it's Illinois, and then it's also Lovey Smith.
I've just never seen anybody who was that unpopular as the head coach of the Chicago Bears
get all the support in the world.
Just it was like they just hired John Wooden in his prime.
Except from at the Catman.
At the Catman did go at him.
Who I'm not. He also went after me.
What,
did you see any of that?
Yeah, no, I did. I did. What? Oh, he said you must be kidding or something like that.
I think he's. You know, he accused me of getting hacked on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. We have to go, Adam. So you have a birthday party tonight. You're going to?
Yeah, I it's a 2-year-old's birthday party. Just to clarify.
Well, have a great time, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm excited about tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.
720 WGN.
His knee is sore. Just talk to Dr. PJ, and really we don't. There's no real heavy concern other than just make sure we calm it down right now. I just talked to him out there. He wants to play, so you're not playing. Just take it easy for the next couple of days. We'll get him back out there. Again, it's that time of the year where you don't press these kind of moments. So I think he's honest. I think he's fine. But if the knee's sore, he's not playing.
It's Joe Maddon, skipper of your Chicago Cubs, talking about Kyle Schwarber, who had a throw to the plate that was a solid throw, but he hurt his knee, but apparently going to be just okay. Dr. PJ, it's a new one for me. I didn't know there was a Dr. PJ, but in the history of the world of doctors that I trust, Dr. PJ is, I don't want to say he's at the top of the list, but I got good feelings with the Dr. PJ. Cubs and White Sox actually played today. Cubs a winner over the Sox, 9-2, and break up the Cubs in spring training. They were 1-8 before 2 days ago, but now they've won 2 in a row, up to 3-8. The White Sox falling to 6-4. I know everybody connects with spring training records. By the way, the Cubs last year started 1-8. This year started 1-8. Last year they went to the NLCS. I think it at least means that they'll be in the NLCS again. My name is Mark Carmen. Adam has left the studio with you for one more hour. Amy Guth warming up in the bullpen, going to talk about how people vote tonight and the psychology of it. That should be a very interesting conversation coming up at 7 o'clock. And coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Wildcat Insider, Dr. Jim Phillips, the outstanding athletic director, will be with us at about 6:15. Then Emily Fletcher, Northwestern women's head golf coach, who they're having a phenomenal season, will talk to us at 6:35. A couple baseball notes I wanted to throw out there. If you have not been paying super attention on Saturday, March 12th, to the start of spring training, which I'm guessing many of you have not, let me just get you a little update. John Lester, who the Cubs paid $150-some-odd million to on a 6-year deal. And last year he was good, not great. His first outing, he barely gets through 2 innings. He throws 50 pitches. He gets knocked around a bit. And maybe I'm just a little bit... I mean, that to me is something that I'm paying attention to this spring. I mean, he had 6 runs scored. 3 of them were unearned, yes. But I'm just hoping that John Lester is not all of a sudden on the downside of his career. John Lackey, who also pitched a ton of innings and is 37 years old, who the Cubs, you know, went out and signed away from the Cardinals. He wasn't great either in his, you know, first time on the mound as well. So, you know, this to me, as the Cubs, I don't care about the record, but it is interesting just to watch how the pitching is coming along early in the spring here. And Lackey, nothing great. Gives up a home run. He did strike out the side in his first inning and then gave up a couple more hits in his second inning of work. So we'll see. We'll see. Can Lackey duplicate what he did last year? And I think Lester needs to take a step forward. I do feel great about Jake Arrieta, and it seems like his fastball is right where it was last year, and he seems super healthy, and I was concerned about that, but a lot less so now. One guy at the plate who's ripping for the Cubs early going, Miguel Montero, 7-for-12 with a couple of bombs, couple of home runs. So that's a good sign, too, for behind the plate. And Kyle Schwarber, sure, he'll get back out there, and maybe we'll play some catcher as well. White Sox-wise, quite a spring so far for Avisail Garcia. 1-for-3 today with a home run, slugging almost 1,600, hitting 500 on the spring, and his second homer of the spring today. So that's a guy that's obviously huge for the White Sox out in right field. And so far, so good for Avisail. And he was one of the bright spots today for the White Sox in their 9-2 loss to the Chicago Cubs. And the other thing that was interesting, too bad Adam had to step out for his party tonight, but another sellout today, 15,256. So far, in 6 home dates, the Chicago Cubs have had 87,649 people. That's an average of 14,006, which is just crazy, right? $10 lawn tickets were reportedly being scalped for $30 today for Cubs and White Sox. It's triple the price for a spring training ticket to Cubs-White Sox on March the 12th, which makes me think that maybe I should just go into business next spring and go on out to Mesa and try to make a little dollars, because I am an underrated scalper. But it'll be interesting to see how much that actually plays at Wrigley. I always kind of pay attention to what people are paying for seats, and there wasn't really a whole lot of a premium being paid for Cubs seats last year, but I'm guessing that is going to change as a lot of excitement, obviously, around the team. And I'm excited. I'm very excited to get it going. And so this is like the first time that I kind of took a moment to recap what is going on in spring training. And there you have it. The now 3-8 Chicago Cubs and 6-4 White Sox. And a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. For all the results and reaction, by the way, Tuesday night, you can watch primary election coverage with Mark Sapelsa, Micah Materi. That is on WGN TV News at 9 and at 10. We'll get into Wildcat Insider next. Dr. Jim Phillips will be with me. Yes, the basketball season is, well, we'll see. The Cats maybe end up in some form of postseason play. We'll talk to the fine athletic director next on 720 WGN.
Chicago's Big Ten team.
At Evanston, Illinois, the Wildcats of Northwestern University.
It's time for Wildcat Insider, driven by Nissan. On the proud home of the Northwestern Wildcats, 720 WGN.
Wildcat Insider, indeed. I'm Mark Carman. This is 720 WGN. Northwestern with a very tough loss on Thursday in overtime to Michigan. 72-70. Man, that was a great game. And when Alex Ola got the rebound off of Trey Demp's left wing jumper and put it back through to push it into OT, I was very, very excited and definitely awoke my neighborhood. But and then up 3 in the overtime, but a Michigan hits a three to tie it, and then a jumper over the outstretched arms of Brian McIntosh to go up two, and then it ends with the three-ball missed by Nathan Taphorn. You have the Ola call, Mike Jacobson? Let's hear that. Let me just get one more minute of Northwestern basketball love this season. Hopefully there will be an NIT team. We'll see.
With seven, with six, Trey driving, stops, puts up a jumper for the tie. No good. Ola the rebound, put it back up. Yes. Got it! Alex Ola with 0.1 seconds to
not
go.
Over, guys.
We're tied at 60, 0.1 seconds remaining.
So head coach Joey Myers. Not over. There's a 10th play defense. That was Dave Bennett, of course, on WGN Radio Thursday right around, I'll call it 1 o'clock. The great Dave Bennett. Yeah. So Chris Collins after the game, as we wait for Dr. Jim Phillips to join us, Chris Collins after the game was upset with a non-travel call, which he should have been. And then, you know, he started talking about stuff like, you know, we don't have the brand name on the front of our jersey, which is true. I mean, Northwestern is still climbing, and they're not Michigan, the team they played on Thursday, or Ohio State, whoever you want to throw in there. I just thought it was very cool to see the passion that Chris has for the university and for the fight that they're, you know, undertaking. Climbing the mountain of getting to the tournament is it's a significant climb, and we're 3 years deep now. But the team, I mean, it's very clear that the program is on the rise. There's more talent coming in. Brian McIntosh is a great player, will be a junior next year, leading him from the point guard spot. Yes, they're going to miss Trey and they're going to miss Alex, but you've got a young center in Derek Pardon who should be able to step in and I would think have an enormous impact. And Scotty Lindsey is going to be a junior. There's a lot of talent that's and there's a good recruiting class coming in. So you got to look at the basketball program as glass half full. And one other thing that I think that has actually helped basketball, because a lot of times, you know, when Michigan State would come in, half the crowd would be green. Wisconsin would come in, half the crowd would be red, et cetera. Indiana, the same deal. With the expansion of the Big Ten, there's a lot more games at Welsh Ryan where it actually is a true home game for Northwestern. Rutgers comes in, it's all purple. Penn State comes in, it's all purple. Nebraska comes in for basketball, it's all purple. I think all of that is a positive for the Cats. Let's bring in the fine athletic director, Dr. Jim Phillips. And Jim, I am starting with the basketball and the loss versus Michigan, and was touching on the post game with Coach Collins. What was your reaction to an emotional guy in an emotional moment with two seniors, and you know, not getting a call that you guys should have had, and just kind of coming to the realization that hey, maybe the season is over. Hopefully it's not, but I just thought from a pure passion moment, I really just enjoyed seeing Chris's heart there, so to speak.
Well, Mark, I would tell you that's who Chris is, and emotions were high for all of us, for myself included. When you go into a locker room and maybe say goodbye to two of the great seniors that we have with Alex and Trey, as well as Joey Van Zegren, who wasn't able to play with a knee injury,
right?
It's difficult. And I think what Chris was saying at the end of the day was we're trying to earn respect. We're trying to earn respect out on the floor from other coaches and from the officials as well. And there's a lot of calls within a period of a game that could go either way, but it gets magnified at the end because of the intensity, a one-point game. And so that shines a little bit brighter light than some of the other calls. But, you know, it is what it is, and sometimes you get those breaks and sometimes you don't. It didn't go our way, but it takes nothing away from Michigan because they had a great run. They beat Indiana yesterday, and it doesn't take anything away from a 20-win season. And I'm, you know, extremely proud of those seniors who led us. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the NIT announcement tomorrow night, and maybe we'll get a chance to continue to play.
Would you guys be willing to go to Las Vegas? Is that do you have any idea that way, if that opportunity presents itself?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Mark. I wouldn't close the door on any options. I would want to talk with Chris about it, and we'd probably want to talk with the seniors and the team a little bit. I think one of the dynamics that we're facing is we started in August with a trip to Spain for nearly 2 weeks. And so this has been a long season for our guys. And so we have to juggle that a little bit with any postseason aspirations. And in the end, we want to do what's right for them, both mentally and physically. So I wouldn't close the door on anything, but it will all kind of come to fruition here in the next, 24 or 36 hours, one way or another.
Fair enough. If you're picking your national champion there, Dr. Jim, I know that you pay attention. Who do you like? Who's going to be on the top of the Jim Phillips bracket?
Are you allowed to do that? I can't. I mean, if it doesn't include Northwestern,
no interest.
Probably a distant observer. But there's some great teams out in the country right now, and I think the Big Ten has a great group, a stable of teams that I hope can do really well in the NCAA tournament. Should be a great final tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon with Michigan State and Purdue. I think both those teams are really playing well, and you got the conference champion in Indiana who had a phenomenal season. But then you have teams like Maryland and Wisconsin, that also can make a run in the tournament. Iowa, I think, could be dangerous. They didn't play well down the stretch, but I think they have a chance to continue to maybe run off a few games. So it should be fun, and I certainly will root for all the Big Ten teams, but I don't know if I could pick a national championship team for you, though.
Fair enough. Dr. Jim Phillips with us here. It's Wildcat Insider, driven by Nissan on 720 WGN. We've got week three spring practice for football, and you had a pro day out there this week, Jim. You got 46 representatives, 31 NFL teams. A big day on campus.
Well, it's exciting for our seniors that have worked really hard, and a lot of them have aspirations to continue to play on Sundays. And I think that's the ultimate, but I'm proud of them because all those guys that you mentioned and the group of individuals that came to see them play or practice have all graduated. And that I think is the staple of what Northwestern and the Northwestern student athlete experience is all about. So I think you're going to hear a few of those guys' names, called, whether it's Danny Vitale, Dean Lowry, and several others. I think they're going to get a chance to continue their football career. But regardless of whenever football ends for those young men, they're going to fall back on a great degree at Northwestern and I think live a real prosperous life.
What do you think about Coach Fitz being ranked number two in an ESPN ranking of 129 FBS head coaches playing careers? I mean, I don't know how that's sitting with Coach Fitz. I feel like he should have gotten the top billing there. Have you discussed this with him?
Well, I think we're going to call Dana White, and we're going to ask if the next UFC card can have Harbaugh versus Fitzgerald, and winner take all. One round, 5 minutes, and last man standing. So we'll get Fitz and Jim together. I think people be interested in that, and they'll square off for that number one spot. What do you say about that?
I mean that's a pay-per-view extravaganza right there. You just put the promoter hat on, Jim. I mean, would in that scenario, is Harbaugh wearing the khakis? And I guarantee Fitz is coming to play.
Yeah, Fitz is wearing the shorts. He made that kind of an in vogue look for coaches. He's wearing the shorts, and Harbaugh's wearing the khakis, and let's get it on.
That's an amazing visual that you just put in my head, and I don't know if my night will be the same. So we're gonna talk to Emily Fletcher right after the 6:30 news, Jim, and eighth season, Big Ten Coach of the Year last year. Won it three times in the last 5 years. Obviously, somebody that is doing a phenomenal job. Tell us about Emily for things that she won't say about herself.
Well, Emily is as good of a woman as you'll ever meet, and what she won't tell you, but it is documented, is she's a cancer survivor, and we love Emily Fletcher, and she's a big part of our family and what she's gone through personally, and she's beaten it because of who she is and how hard she fought it, but she's as good of a coach as we have at Northwestern. She just is, and I can't give her a higher praise than that, because we got a lot of great coaches. She's a wonderful lady. You'll enjoy hearing her story, and for Northwestern and a Northern school to be ranked number one in golf in the fall, and obviously top 10 here in the spring is pretty remarkable. So you're in for a special treat with Emily.
You try to jump out there every now and then, Jim, compete, do something? I don't know. How's the swing?
The swing is it's on the shelf, and usually I compare if you're a good golfer, you've probably not been in the office enough, and so you know, that's kind of how I relate it to my own life. So I think I'm in the office quite a bit because the swing is awful, and it really should be on ice for a while, maybe permanently. But it's a great game; my kids love it, but I got a ways to go.
Did I see you picked up another award this week? Because I know that you don't like talking about yourself, but I believe that you were respected and honored once again for being for your work as being an athletic director. Correct?
Yeah, appreciate it. I would just tell you this: it is not a reflection of me, but it's really a reflection of the staff and the coaches and the kids, Mark. And I really mean that. I mean that. I think sometimes in these kinds of positions, or a lot of times, you get way too much credit, and it's really the heart and soul of the staff and those coaches. And you know, talk with Emily and the student athletes you've had a bunch on the radio. They're just the best. So that's a team award, and really is not about me. But honored to represent Northwestern, and we'll receive it this summer in June down in San Antonio. So thanks.
Yep. Well, congratulations regardless, and heartfelt sentiments as always for everybody that you're working with, which is one of the reasons I'm sure the athletic department works so well. Dr. Jim, I hate to put it out there like this. Number one, I'm ready for the NIT. If that doesn't happen, I'm ready for anything else that you guys are willing to plan. And if nothing happens, I'm already ready for next season, because I got high hopes for what's going to happen in 2016, 2017. You guys are right on the cusp, and it was a super exciting basketball season. It was fun to be around.
It's a lot of fun, Mark. Obviously, we love your passion and your support, but it's a great story when you think about Chris taking over less than 3 years ago to where it is today, and we're headed in the right direction. I just know that there is a better destination in men's basketball at Northwestern, and we're well on our way. So it'll be exciting. Sad to see Alex and Trey and Joey go, but a great group of freshmen coming in, Vic Law getting healthy, and the returners of McIntosh and Falzone and Pardon and others. It's really a bright future. So exciting.
Dr. Jim, enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. Don't do anything crazy out there.
Thank you, my friend. You're the best.
Okay.
Go Cats.
Yep. Dr. Jim Phillips, the fine athletic director at Northwestern. We'll get you in the news. And then Emily Fletcher, cancer survivor, the head women's golf coach, coming up next, 720 WGN.
Back to Wildcat Insider, driven by Nissan on 720 WGN.
Wildcat Insider continuing indeed. I'm Mark Harmon with you till 7 o'clock. Amy Guth's going to be talking about the psychology of voting at 7. That should be an interesting discussion. Let's bring in our next guest. It's Emily Fletcher. She is the head women's golf coach. Her eighth season at the helm for the Wildcats, the Big Ten Coach of the Year, hoping to go perhaps back-to-back. Emily, how does that sound, the Big Ten Coach of the Year? I mean, if I'm you and I hear that, I kind of start to smile.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on your show. Actually, I think returning Big Ten champ sounds better to me than that Coach of the Year stuff. But we're looking forward here to the next couple of 6 weeks, really, till we get going back down in Indianapolis with our Big Ten championship.
Yeah, you know, I like that out of you, Coach. It's all about team and not about yourself, which is we just had your athletic director, Dr. Jim Phillips, on. I was talking about another award for him, and he says it's more reflective of everybody else that he works with, and I'm sure you feel that your award is reflective of the kids that you coach. One of them is Hannah Kim, who's a sophomore, and she just won your last tournament, the Hurricane Invitational, and she broke her previous 54-hole program record by 7 strokes. That's an exciting uptick right there, I would think, for Hannah.
It sure was, Mark. It was an exclamation point for sure on a great event for us as a team, getting to 24 under par as a team. But certainly what Hannah did individually was just tremendous. You know, she just kept building on the momentum from the first couple of rounds and really came on strong there to finish with a 64 there in the last round.
How much of your work, Coach, is the mental side versus, hey, do this with your swing? Because I would think, the point you're in college, sure, you're going to tweak things, but I would think more you're working on the mental game.
You know, it's a combination of, all of those areas, Mark. these players, as they come to us here at Northwestern, they're very accomplished, and so they've had good instruction and good fitness usually, and even some good mental work coming into Northwestern. But for us, it's about taking advantage of improving in each of those areas in that little bit of margin for improvement. And so, we'll do a little bit of, on the technical side, but certainly we're working on trying to, not only course management, but also thinking ourselves around the golf course and being in a good frame of mind mentally. So we do a little bit of all of those things.
So, okay. You just mentioned being in shape around golf, and I think some people kind of hear that like, really? You need to be in shape to be a golfer? Can you explain the physical demands that your players are under?
Oh, for sure. And I think that it's, it's interesting. Even within our athletic department, we kind of talk about amongst us coaches, what a competitive day is like for us. And, whether it's, basketball, that's a couple hours, or football that now is what, three and a half hours. But, it's not unusual for us to play a 36-hole event, 36-18 event, where we'll, on that 36-hole day, we're on the golf course up and out of the hotel at 5:30, 6 in the morning, and we'll get back at, 6 or 7 at night. So, you can talk about, the fitness side of that and maybe sort of, wink a little bit when you try to minimize how much physical strength it takes, but it really does take the endurance and the programs that we've been able to provide our both our men's and women's golf programs with, I think has been a huge part of our success and injury prevention, fitness, strength, core strength, all of that stuff have been important factors in allowing us to continue to improve and to have our, our players in the best physical condition they can be.
Emily Fletcher's the head women's golf coach for your Northwestern University Wildcats. The Cats have qualified for 6 consecutive NCAA regionals, 3 consecutive NCAA championships, and you had your best ever 10th place finish last year. This is your 8th season, coach. How, as far as, as hearing those numbers and building the program up to the point that it's been, where you guys are at right now, I mean, what was your vision as how you were going to get there and, to raise the program up like you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think by default, I'll go back to what really was said as the vision for myself and my assistant, Beth Miller, who's been, with me all 7.5 of these years. And that's Coach Pat Goss, our director of golf and player development. And from the get-go, from the time that, he hired us, the vision was and the mission was to turn this program into a program that can win Big Ten championships and be a top 10 team in the country. And so, although I'm not sure I had the advanced vision to have that for myself immediately, but certainly he put that forth for us and we bought in, 100% Beth and I, and eventually, as the years went by, we've just been so fortunate with the players that we've been able to recruit and have come through Northwestern. And, we're reaping a little bit of the fruits of those labors recently with our, with our really strong play and our outstanding results. But it really is a tribute to those that, kind of started out early on with Beth and I, and just the progress that we were able to make in those early years and changing the culture and really setting the tone for believing that we can compete at the highest level. And being a northern school and being a school that hadn't, had much domination in golf, certainly on the men's side we had, but not on the women's side. And so I kind of give Coach Goss the credit for casting that vision for Beth and I, and then for us to be able to continue to share that with our players.
So getting players to say, hey, come up north, play in the Big Ten. Yeah, it's a little bit cold, but come on, you're going to be in Chicago and you're going to be on this sweet campus and the lake's right there. And, there's a lot to offer. We're pretty good academically. Is the cold weather maybe the biggest factor that you have to kind of climb uphill against as far as recruiting?
Mark, I think that's the perceived, wild card that people think is a tough sell for us. But I would tell you that once we have our student athletes here on campus, just what you said, once they're here and they're able to experience Evanston, being so close to, downtown Chicago, the lakefront, the campus itself, the people, really the weather becomes a secondary factor. And I think that when you have facilities like we do, and I know, you all probably talked about that some with Dr. Phillips and just how, the university is pushing to, create and provide us with the best facilities in the country. And we have that already in our golf program. The golf courses that we're able to play here on the North Shore are something that our players continually talk about, and that really is an attraction for them, as well as our indoor facilities and the field house and Trinan's, and then our Gleacher Golf Center on campus provides us with every resource necessary for us to continue to improve regardless of the weather. And I think this time indoors really gives us a chance to get a leg up on some things technically and fundamentally that really does prepare us well when we get back outside, full time.
Emily Fletcher, your head women's golf coach at Northwestern. Emily, I asked Dr. Phillips in his segment just a couple minutes ago, what's one thing that Emily wouldn't talk about? What would that be? And he did mention that you are a cancer survivor, which, obviously that's a challenge that none of us would ever want to face, but you did. And here today, I don't know how much you're willing to speak about that, but I'm sure it had a huge impact on your life.
Yeah, it really did. And I appreciate certainly, Jim was in the entire athletic department. We're right there with me every step of the way. It's been 5 years now. And even as I think back on those 5 years and just the team that we had, the girls that we had in our program, and just the support and the encouragement that they provided to me. And really it was a safe haven, Mark, to be able to come to work every day and be a coach and not just be a cancer patient was a huge part of what got me through that. I feel very, very blessed to be 5 years on the other side of this and to so far have, a clean bill of health. But a big part of that was certainly the support and the love and the encouragement from the staff and fellow coaches and certainly our golf program.
You got to have it. Emily, congrats on all your success on the course and everything else that you've come up against in your life. And hey, keep it rolling over there. You guys, what's next for the program?
Mark, we're actually getting ready to go. We'll go down to Arizona for a 4-day spring break trip just at the end of spring break. Our girls are going to go home to their respective, hometowns here for a week or so, and then we'll gather again in Arizona at the end of spring break, and then we're going to be heading down to Athens, Georgia for an event that University of Georgia hosts. It's actually a unique event. It's a little bit of a look forward toward what we'll have at the national championship in that it's a one day of stroke play, and then it's a match play event. So that's next up for us, and so we'll be trying to, familiarize ourselves a little bit more with that match play format, hoping to make it to that race to the eight there at the NCAA championships in May.
Do you need a travel assistant, an equipment organizer, a Gatorade carrier? I do great in Arizona and in Georgia, Coach. And if you can find room for me, I'm willing to contribute in any way I can.
We got room for you, Mark. Come go with us. You just need to get some purple.
All right. I'm going to talk to the higher-ups. We're going to make this happen, Coach. Or probably not, but I'm going to try.
Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate your support of the Wildcats.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach. That is Emily Fletcher, your head women's coach, cancer survivor, eighth season with the Wildcats, and the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year. Our quick final timeout, and then we got two things that we got to do in this last – well, actually three things. One, you got to have a moment of Derrick Rose. Two, we have a Cubs player who's looking for some tributes or a way for people to cheer for him, which is interesting. And three, men and cats. All that's going to be jammed into this last segment here. 720 WGN.
This is my kingdom come. This is
now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
What did my father want? He's not on hold. Did you talk to my dad?
Jacobson? Sure did. I did talk to a Fred Carman.
What'd he say?
He said, he asked me what my name was, which was very polite. And then
He does do that.
And then he's like, can you just have Mark call me after the program is over? And I said, Mr. Carman, you got it. And it was a delightful exchange. It was probably between 35 and 40 seconds.
That's long for my dad.
I enjoyed all of it.
Okay. That's kind of scary.
And I do feel closer to a Fred Carman now. So there we go.
And I have a cell phone. I mean, he could call on my cell phone.
So wait a minute. I figured he tried calling you. You were like didn't pick up. And then he's like, all right, I'm going straight to the source. I'm going to call 312-981-7200.
We honestly should make my dad a larger character on the show. He's 90 years old. He's a, you know, he's a World War II west side of the city, Marshall High School. If you look up, by the way, if you Google Fred Carman on your Google, is that him calling again?
That's actually security calling.
Now security wants to be removed because I'm talking about my father too much. That's okay. Security, if you Google Fred Carman, you'll find he's got the second longest return in Illinois high school history of 100 yards of a punt. He was back to punt back in the 40s, and it was a bad snap from center, and Freddie Carman took the ball 100 yards. He is in the record books, which everybody should know that about my dad. He passed along some of his athletic talents, but not certainly on the football side, because that is just a sport that I was not built to play as a 5 foot, 100 pound prepubescent freshman at Highland Park High School back in the day. So here, a lot to do here in this final segment. Number one, I have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's that I'd like to give away. Dexter Fowler of your Chicago Cubs is looking for a way to kind of resonate for, you know, like last year you had the Starlin Castro clap and the whole song and people loved it. He's looking for a whole group. He's got Fowler's Howlers as a hashtag. Hey, Cubbies, can we make hashtag Fowler's Howlers a thing? Like, literally howl for me. Dexter Fowler wants you to howl for him in the outfield this year. If you have a better idea that you can think of in 1 minute, I'm happy to give you a Lou Malnati's card. Fowler's Howlers, which I kind of like. It's not terrible, right? But it's, I don't know, like howling is not an easy thing to do, but kind of fun, I guess. You could be out there in the bleachers and have a perhaps a cocktail or two and then start howling for Dexter Fowler.
Wolf howl, maybe.
Wolf howl, David?
Oh!
That's not bad. That's actually like scarily natural for you, David.
No comment. Just a thought, you know, hey, maybe that's his idea.
I mean, I like that he's looking for a way to connect with the faithful. He's back for one more.
Get the fans involved, you know? Yeah.
I mean, there could be T-shirts. There could be lots of things. 312-981-7200. Fowler's Howlers. Anybody like it? Can we do something better? David Jennings just maybe. Actually, you don't even have to think of something better. If you can just howl for me, I'm willing to give you a $25 gift card. Just one good. Can you howl, Jacobson?
Gift card goes to the best howler.
Best howler. I mean, I only got like a minute, but I want to get. I don't want to like have a gift and not give it away.
I don't think anybody's gonna beat David's. Maybe we should just give it to David.
I wonder if Amy Guth can howl.
No. You find someone to give it to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can Amy Guth? Can you howl?
Nope. Sure cannot.
Really?
No.
You do everything else. You tell me you can't howl.
No.
One little. Oh.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Do you like that for Dexter Fowler? Fowler's Howlers?
I don't not like it.
I mean, are you willing to support the Cubs center fielder for a foul howl?
Let's say yes.
Really? I don't like the way you said that, Amy. That was very that was like disingenuous.
I was really noncommittal about that answer.
You were. I know you got a big show coming up here, but I got to get like one howler in here because, you know, we want to give things away. And Dexter Fowler's reaching out to Cubs fans. He wants Fowler's Howlers to become a thing in the city.
He's pushing that agenda on us in a big way.
And I respect somebody who goes out and asks for what they want. Can Patty and DeKalb try it? Patty and DeKalb's going to do it. Patty, you going to howl for me?
I'm not going to howl, but what about Fowler's Prowlers?
Fowler's Prowlers.
That makes for a Prowler. Way less Prowler. Good logo, though.
Like, if you're a prowler, though, Patty, doesn't have a negative kind of...
Right.
Growl.
Oh, growlers. Here. Growlers. Growl. You want to growl? Can you growl? That works. All right, Patty. You win. Good enough for me. What's that, Mike Jacobson? I can't hear you if you're talking to me. No, you're good? Okay, great. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
So you got a big show planned tonight.
I do. We're talking all about voter behavior, apathy of voters, empowerment of voters, engagement of voters, all the stuff that makes people vote or not vote and why they vote the way they do and all that good stuff. Tons to unpack.
How did you ever come up with an idea to talk about that?
I can't imagine why I would come up with such a thing. There's no headlines about anything of the sort at all.
That's what are you expecting to get out of the show? I know you think ahead as to what kind of response you're going to get. What do you think we're gonna get into here?
Response from listeners?
Yes.
Well, I always encourage a very thoughtful, bipartisan discussion that is supportive and assumes that everybody in the discussion has is moral, is intelligent, is thoughtful. That's what I aim for. But it really ends up being kind of a slugfest. Not gonna lie.
All right, we have to get out of your way here. So have a wonderful show.
I thank you,
Amy Guth. Straight ahead, going to be a good one. 720 WGN.